Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Just sit right back and you'll hear some talk about a football team and rear end problems and wedge salads. PFW in Progress. The host was a mighty radio man. His crew was a childish bunch. They invited New England Patriots fans for a two-hour lunch. A two-hour lunch. The email started getting rough. The producer, he was lost. If not for the courage of the fearless Fred, the broadcast would be tossed. The broadcast would be tossed. The show's alive and it can be heard on Patriots.com with Fred Kirsch and Big Head 2. The Balding One and his Punch, Scalabino, Tacoma, and Dr. D. PFW in Progress.
I like how Tacoma gets billing before Doc. That must really chap your hide, huh?
No?
You got to turn the mic on. No? Not at all. Okay. Well, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang is all here, and Eric. Doc is here, Tacoma. Eric's already
mad at you.
Glaring across what happened? The desk.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at Patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482. And we'll be here, as always, till 2 o'clock Eastern time, taking your emails and calls. And the debate still rages. That debate that we had about the people were still emailing in.
That means it was interesting.
It was interesting. And people liked that. They thought it was a good debate. So we'll get to some more people that want to chime in on that debate as we go along in the show.
We brought that one upstairs, and much to the dismay of many of our coworkers around us. But
I brought it home.
That one went
I asked
back
Deidre
upstairs.
For her opinion.
She agreed with everybody.
Well, yeah.
She was on everybody's side.
She took the Giants win for an undefeated season, and I go, really, why? She goes, well, if Brady retires, then it'll be an early offseason every year. You'll be home in January every year. So she actually took my logic.
A couple personnel moves since Tuesday.
Yeah. Hmm. Ornberger signed.
Rich Ornberger is
and
signed.
And some Edgerly guy joined the scouting department. Frank?
Frank Edgerly is his name, yes.
Yeah, but didn't they release somebody?
Antonio Appleby. Appleby.
Antonio Appleby.
Rookie free agent.
Rookie linebacker.
Yeah.
Gone.
Which, I am a little surprised with the McKenzie injury and the perceived lack of depth there. Apparently he didn't do anything.
You see something, it's like, this isn't going to fit.
No, I agree, but I just thought being the Virginia guy, this knowledge of the system, all that, he would have a leg up and a chance and at a thin position. And apparently he was really, really bad.
Okay.
Maybe Paris Lennon's really, really good.
Yeah, but I just mean for depth.
Yeah. Well, after
you guys think Mayo's done.
Never said that.
Why do
and
you do
by
that?
The way,
why do you do that?
Bill poo poo.
The same way he argued the other argument.
Listen to me. Listen to me. That's irresponsible.
Bill
poo
poo. No, I wasn't the one who brought it up. You three did. Bill poo poo.
You're irresponsible throwing those things out over
on
the airwaves.
All access.
It's irresponsible.
Once again, Fred's right.
Poo pooed what?
Your talk of.
Of what? That he didn't have minicamp because of an injury he may have suffered in the offseason as opposed to during last season? That's the only thing we brought up.
Yep.
He poo-pooed that. How did he say that?
I forgot exactly.
Because I saw the comments that Belichick made, and I didn't see him poo-poo anything.
Oh, he poo-pooed it.
Did you see him, Fred?
He's just being difficult.
Did you see the Belichick?
Picking up where he left off.
Did he poo-poo anything?
No.
Andy just likes to talk about poo-poo.
Yeah. So,
Andy knows a lot about that.
Now, we talked on Tuesday that even though minicamp was done, there were still a lot of cars in the parking lot. Not so much now. They're starting to dwindle a little bit.
That's although they're spreading throughout the country.
Somebody had a real classic. I think it was a Ford Fairlane, like all decked out.
Maroon?
Old, yeah, maroon. Do you see that car with the?
I did. I didn't know it was a Ford Fairlane.
I don't. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. But it was some old kind of car.
Kind of like nice. the low rider type. That
yeah.
They have.
Nice rims.
Are they spinning?
Vince Wilfork is at Bethpage.
Vince Wilfork.
I just confused Fred.
Is he on our team? I can't remember. Is he still on the Patriots?
Who's Bethpage?
At Bethpage.
She worked
where
for
the
us?
U.S. Open is.
What's Bethpage?
Bethpage State Park, the golf course, New York, U.S. Open, open today. He tweeted that for Father's Day, his kids gave him a week at the
nice.
U.S. Open.
Wow.
So he's following
kids
Tiger.
Have a lot
around.
Of money. Yeah. What do they do for work?
They're Vince Wilfork's kids.
Get an allowance from him.
Yeah. Although, yeah.
I got
a bigger allowance if he got the deal he wanted.
Did you guys get anything good for Father's Day?
It hasn't come yet. I don't understand why. Everybody has their present. And Eric,
and
is
I'm not a father.
Oh, wait. That thing that I got was for my anniversary. That's right. I got a
you want to swear after saying that?
Yeah. I got a Sony e-reader.
In your defense, it's been over 10 minutes. So
you know, one of those read digital.
I am very interested.
Books.
I want you to give me, use it for a couple months.
And you
then
downloaded
I want to
something.
I downloaded the Lee Montville Babe Ruth book. And I'm reading
give a real... critique of it. Give it, you know.
Yeah,
so don't just because you're big on the gadgets and you automatically just say that those are always the best.
Right.
Give us a real
while
solid
borrowing a phone because your iPhone won't work.
Performance.
I downloaded the iPhone 3.0
evaluation
yesterday.
Okay.
The latest upgrade. It's very good.
What does that
what
mean?
What can
I
you do now?
Cut and paste.
He can now receive phone calls.
So I'm excited about that.
Okay.
But I do want. I'm interested in this because that could be a Christmas present for my wife. One of those, either the
Kindle
or the one
the
you have.
Sony one. Yeah,
I'm gonna have to see which one supposedly is better.
The
and
Kindle
why.
One, you can actually download right directly to the device.
Oh, you can't do that with yours?
No, what you do with mine is you set up. They give you a CD on your PC. You set up like an iTunes. It's like an app. Like
so, the
iTunes.
Kindle is like Wi-Fi or wireless.
Yeah, right? But it doesn't act. It only works on what they call WhisperNet. Which is kind of like their own thing, and that's had a lot of bad reviews.
So
the better way to do it is sync it up with your PC.
If I were using my Kindle, it's picking it up from a satellite. It's not. I just assume it was my home wireless network.
But it is. But now it's working with WhisperNet, which is on the device itself. Okay. And I guess there's been some problems with that. It's not as seamless as people would think.
But yeah, I do some reading, do long
you,
reading.
You
see
do
if your
it.
Eyes.
You
no, no,
do
no.
it.
I mean, on
no,
your machine.
Some reading on the machine.
I have. I told
no,
you.
No, no, no. But I want you to do like 3 hours. Tell me if your eyes start to hurt. If there's any flaws. If how everything is.
Not some reading up on the product. Some reading actually on the device
well,
to see how much you
well,
like.
Well, here's
it.
The thing. It is no different than a piece of paper in that if there's no light in the room, you can't read it. There's no light. It's not like a laptop
it's
where it has
lit,
light.
The screen lights
so
up.
I also have this
leather bound, of course.
Thing, and you flip this
it smells
piece
of rich
plastic
mahogany.
Over that. That's lit.
Got $1,000
gift. And that
lights
it. But if you don't have that, you can't read in a dark room. You need light shining on it, just like you would a piece of paper.
And do you press a button, or is it like touch?
No, this one is you have a little button on the side. You just press the button when you want
to
change.
Page, so is this page. Safe enough to bring like to the beach or outdoors somewhere?
That's
or?
A good question. I would say no. I would say you wouldn't want to bring this
definitely
to where there's water or sand.
Checking the bad side.
You know,
I think that's completely ruling it out for me.
Yeah,
that's the only time I ever get to read books is vacation.
It is not waterproof, and you know, sand is even worse. Mm. So, I would say no, it is
we
not
sand
good for the beach. You know, unless you can be really careful with it.
Well,
you know,
what's the point?
One
but
little,
that's not
one
real,
little gust of wind, though, and
you
know, the point. It would be to be able to just kind of
lie
relax,
on a towel and read
about,
it. Not yeah.
You know, I can't let any sand on this.
Right.
That would. That's. Yeah.
So soon, this will join the gutter cleaner and the juicer and that one closet Fred has for all the expensive gadgets.
Yeah, but the good thing about having Fred is he's so
rich.
Ahead of the curve in terms of the technology that he tries all these things out for us,
mm-hmm.
and he
saves
I'm,
us the
I'm
time.
What they call
he
a first mover, first adopter.
Yes.
Yeah.
He weeds out all the stuff that we don't want to buy.
Because you're
like
rich.
I'll never get one of those phones, ever.
No.
Why?
Because it never works.
Oh, bull crap. That's ridiculous.
Never get one of those phones.
I won't either.
That's ridiculous.
My phone works everywhere except for in my office here at Gillette Stadium.
That's the same with me.
It's the only time I ever have a problem. You have never been able to get that thing to
oh,
work
that's
on demand ever.
Okay, Paul has officially said for public consumption that the iPhone doesn't work.
You, well,
40 million people are now very actually, 40 million people can't be wrong.
I actually didn't say that. I said your phone doesn't work.
It works fine.
Except when you have to borrow one to
I love the iPhone.
Am I wrong on that, Andy? How many times have you seen him
countless,
talk about an app that he needs to display for us, and it doesn't work?
I love the iPhone.
How often do you use the apps?
A lot.
What types of apps do you use?
I have AP, the app.
Press. Yeah.
I get all the different world.
App.
Sports.
Like a wire, like local. A constantly updating wire.
Yeah, I use that a lot. I use the weather one, stocks. I use New York Times, Wall Street Journal.
They have specific apps for those?
Yeah.
I don't really understand why it's an app. Why is
What does the app do? Is it just?
Well, it's you don't have to go to their website. It's all it's all set up for the iPhone. It's easy, very configurable.
We haven't even eaten lunch yet.
You know, so
In truth, I don't really need all the stuff that you use the phone for.
In truth,
that's why I wouldn't.
No
get
one
that
does. Phone. Nobody really
not because,
does.
Not because it doesn't work.
And now, what would you be cutting no and pasting that you needed to download?
Well, like
that
if let's just say that you were in one email, and you wanted to cut out something somebody said in the email and put it into a Word document or
tweet it,
or put it into Twitter or move it just to another email that you have open. Mm-hmm. You can just cut and paste stuff, which is
you paid for that.
No, it's all free with the upgrade. You know? So.
Did you pay for the upgrade?
No, it's free. 3.0. So.
All right.
All right. Well, you know.
Enough tech talk.
That's okay. I mean, the people that listen to the show are naturally tech savvy because they're listening to online radio.
You can't not be and be listening to
us. Right. Right.
Speaking of the technology, I noticed Comcast for the draft night. Comcast Sportsnet is doing a live podcast throughout the night of the draft where they're going to have Mark Spears and Gorman and all these people. And that's the first I've kind of seen of really mainstream draft coverage for the a network. It's they're the official TV station of the Celtics. I thought that was interesting.
Now, what is making it a...
What?
I didn't even know what I was going to say.
Okay, ask the question.
How are they... deeming it a podcast. It just sounds like they're having a draft show. Live draft show.
Is it live?
Yeah.
He said it's not a live podcast.
He said a live podcast. That's
what this is.
We're a live podcast. We're streaming it as a podcast later and all that.
To me, a podcast, technically, the way it always started was something you downloaded.
To your iPod.
Yeah.
Right.
It just sounds like they're having a live draft show.
Yeah, they're having a live online draft.
Maybe they're giving people
online is part of it.
But maybe they're giving people.
But
the
I don't really know why
to...
they'd be doing it online. You have a TV network.
Download it later, like this show.
Yeah.
But why wouldn't it be on the TV network?
I don't know. That's why I was asking you the question. I didn't see.
I don't know either. That's why I responded. I don't know when you asked the question.
Okay.
You actually responded before he asked the question.
Part of the information.
Now is this national?
I learned it from watching Fred.
A national show or just
Celtics?
It's a
Celtics coverage of the draft.
Well, that's why, because they couldn't get the airtime.
They own the network. It's all, I mean, it's...
Celtics don't own
Comcast. No, but they are the official... Comcast airs
probably
the Celtics
during
teams.
That time, Comcast had some obligations, so this is...
They don't
know,
have obligations.
They
it's
really
all,
don't.
It's all filler.
It's all local programming or filler.
It's the Celtics, and that's it.
All right, well, I'm...
I thought it was interesting, because I feel like, we're this niche podcast thing, and this is kind of on mainstream TV. They're talking about doing one for a major event.
I think it's very interesting. I just don't know the details.
I mean, we do our draft show, but we don't have a TV network that we could do the draft show on. They do.
All right. What else was I going to say?
Lord only knows.
Well, and you get very distracted.
Get your finger on the button, Jason.
You get very distracted when the food comes in, so I know.
No, I this Joe Buck show... That I guess Brett Favre got on it and used a lot of "we" when referring to himself and the Minnesota Vikings
a couple of times,
and said that he is still
offense.
Interested in playing. The arm isn't quite there yet. Is that what
we're
hearing?
He's got to wait to see.
He
if he
threw
can throw.
At a high we school.
Near
his
house. No, there was a video camera there. There's always a video camera.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Local
well, that's
affiliate.
Because he calls the guy and sees if he needs a ride when
I know.
Goes there.
So, what do you guys think of all this?
We talked about it
same
on Tuesday.
Old thing.
I'm
postponing the inevitable. Part. Yeah. He's going to go to the Vikings. He's going to suck for a year.
How
and then we're going to go through this all over
Vikings
again next
fan.
Year.
Would you be happy about this?
No.
I wouldn't want him, although I'm told that it's kind of 50-50. There was, some sort of poll that they took there.
Yeah.
This was about
I'd be afraid to take a poll if I was Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, because you
don't ask a question you don't know the answer to.
Well, it wasn't the Vikings poll. It was.
That's what I'm saying. If I was the Vikings,
And I guess they asked, in terms of the new stadium they're trying to get legislation for, Fred, you know, would you be in favor of Brett Favre, not in favor? And I think it came 53-47 in favor of bringing Brett Favre for the new stadium. But that's almost like an even split, you would think. A team that has been starving for a quarterback for 3 or 4 years now with a decent team.
Yep.
They don't think Brett Favre's the answer because it's split in half. I mean, right. I don't think that's very good.
Plus, I have a problem, Paul, and I told you this. Paul Domowich wrote this for our paper, that the Vikings decided they needed a quarterback when Tavares Jackson threw an interception in a playoff game against
the
Giants.
Samuel. No,
oh, Eagles.
The Eagles.
And I said to Paul, well, Brett Favre is going to do the – I mean, that's what Brett
Favre
is. Right.
That's been the definition of Favre for 5 years. Big interceptions.
What's the point? I mean, it's not like they're getting Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. Or Brett Favre from 12 years ago. They're getting Brett Favre right now, and he's not that good.
And I don't see how it's going to help them in terms of getting financing for their stadium. The guy's going to be around for 1 year.
Right.
And, okay, maybe they make the
playoffs.
That's
the year they need him to be here. That's, I mean,
I just
so
think
they get
if
a guy,
they could get Tom Brady for 1 year, that would help him get their
financing. I just
financing
think that
done.
If I was a fan, I'd be pretty frustrated that this is just a lot of nonsense. It's a, like you said, Eric, it's a one-year thing.
Yeah.
This isn't helping my
he's
team
never gonna,
down the road.
He's never going to play in that new stadium.
You know, the state or the city of you know, the state of Minnesota isn't going to say, oh, okay, you got Brett Favre for a year. Okay, let's appropriate $500 million.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
But I think if he was Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, it might.
Oh, yeah.
For 1 year.
For 1 year?
Yeah. Because I think you'd win.
No,
and I think
but
that's what it takes.
I want a future. I want
exactly.
A
but
very
whoa, whoa, you want a future?
They're very
this
short-sighted.
Different
I thought you were all about one-season runs towards Super Bowl.
I'm talking about a state giving $500 million for a stadium.
Yeah,
okay?
I want to get.
We'll talk about that later.
You know, we are going to talk about that for a second. I want to defend Fred, Eric, and myself because this has been somewhat misplayed a little bit. The question seems to have been twisted a little
of
bit.
Of course, it has.
Now it seems to be the perception is we're deciding between 19-0. Or 4 or 5 championships.
Right. That's not...
What would you rather have?
Right. Yeah.
If that's the case, then sign me up for Andy's 10 years of Tom Brady. If you're telling me they're going to win the Super Bowl 3, 4, 5 times,
exactly.
I'll take that
and
over 1 year
the thing,
of 19
in my thinking, I can't guarantee if Brady stays, they'll win anymore. I can't guarantee that they won't win anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if they
but
go
I'm taking
19-0,
the guarantee
I can
of...
guarantee that they'll have the best team in his.
Right.
Right. And that's what I'm basing my answer on.
That, me too.
The
that
one team... absolute in the equation is 19-0. All the rest of it, yes, I agree with Andy. They have a better chance to win again
with
Tom Brady than without. I wholeheartedly agree.
But they may not.
But they may not.
Right.
Future football discussions.
If you could tell me they're going to win 3 or 4 more, I'm with Andy.
Future football discussions would always harken back to that benchmark season of 2007. Teams, no matter how good NFL teams would have been, will be in the future.
Who
it
cares?
It will always have come back to, they'll never be as good as that 2007 Patriots team. That would have been the best
That's
football
true,
team
Brady retired.
Of all time.
So you guys weren't listening to me, because I don't care how fans spin it, but I told you,
no, you weren't
on any Sunday afternoon
no,
in September.
You were doing the spinning
no,
that got
no,
the fans
I wasn't.
To do that.
So you guys should probably go back and listen to the podcast. Because I told you, on any play, in any game, I want Tom Brady on the field for as long as possible. Third week of September, I know I have a chance to win that game with Tom Brady.
That has nothing to do with
that
it, though.
Yes, it does.
Do with the question.
You guys want to go into mediocrity and root for a team that's going to suck.
Jesus.
You're assuming that there's mediocrity
again.
You're the only one who's allowed to make assumptions in this thing. And I don't want to get in the whole same argument,
right.
But you're assuming they're in mediocrity without him.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you can't make that assumption.
Well, then you guys can never
you
again say the reason
assumption.
The Patriots are better than other teams and the Colts are better than other teams
but
is because they have a good coach and a good quarterback.
You can't make that assumption without allowing anybody else to make the assumption that they won't win anything else the next
so
10 years.
So just don't ever tell me again that the difference between the Patriots and the rest of the league is Tom Brady.
No, I happen
don't
to,
tell me that ever again.
I happen to believe that's the case. But that's not what you said.
Oh, so it suited your argument then. It doesn't suit it now. I see how you were.
No. This is exactly what you did Tuesday.
He's
you're,
being
doing,
an idiot.
You're doing the same thing
he's
now.
He's being
you're,
a jerk. So it's
just
not
like you guys are. You guys are doing the same thing. We're both being jerks then.
It's not even worth talking about it.
Wait, I don't think anybody's this isn't about being a jerk. I just think that you're making assumptions on one end but not willing to make assumptions on the other. I'm not saying you're being a jerk about it. I didn't say that at all.
The assumption I made was you're competitive with Tom Brady.
And I would agree with that.
That's what I based my decision on. But you people said I based it on 5 Super Bowls.
That's not what you said on
Go
Tuesday.
Go back and listen to the show then, because I know I said it.
And
Go listen to the show. I said I want to be competitive.
If anybody else could talk on the show, we would all try.
Yes,
well,
I was talking, and you didn't
want
to let me finish my sentence. Apparently, you guys.
That, again, you're all making right. an assumption.
See, I'm not making an assumption.
That they're not going to be
Since
competitive
Tom
without Tom
has
Brady?
Been the quarterback,
they were competitive last year without Tom Brady.
Yes, but
so
you're
I can't
assuming
make an
that they're not
going to
be competitive.
They were competitive with Drew Bledsoe.
And exactly what we talked about to you. I said to you, what's the face of the franchise? Do you think that would continue?
And Andy, the
or
question,
do you think people would stop coming here? That it would be harder to build a team.
Andy, the question wasn't 19-0 or you're not competitive anymore. That's not the question.
No, but I'm reading into it. I am analyzing the situation.
Right.
I understand that. But again, you're assuming they're going to go from this level back to 1991. I can't make that assumption.
I think they're going to be mediocre at best, just like the rest of the league, because we've always said the difference between the great ones and the mediocre ones is the coach and the quarterback.
And if that's the case, you can't guarantee me that they're not going to just go 13-3 every year and have a chance to win the title but not win any.
What?
With Brady, they could go 13-3, be far better than mediocre, but not win another title.
Right.
I'll take 19-0.
And I told you I'll take 13-3 every year because
I want to
root
no
for a good football team.
You'll take no championships over being the best team of all
because
time.
Because as a fan, I
that's
root
the first
year
time
year.
You've said that.
No, it isn't.
On
See,
Tuesday, you,
you
kept saying how many
listen.
Super Bowls
and that's
they would
why
win
this argument
in the next
got so
10
out of
years.
Hand,
right.
You
didn't changed listen. What you said
no.
from Tuesday.
No. Go back and listen to the show. You won't.
You did.
You won't because you might be wrong. God forbid that happens.
No, because we have other things to do other than listen to the 2 hours that you changed
it. For what it's worth, he's right.
He's no, right about
don't,
what?
Don't
no.
bother with that.
Listen to the show.
It doesn't even matter.
You clearly
matter.
All just don't listen. I said I want to be competitive each and every week, and I know with Tom Brady, I am that.
You did say that. Did I absolutely
that.
Remember you saying that.
Well, that
but you're
but
assuming
in addition,
you just,
you're in
assuming
assuming
that's
in addition
to. That was my argument. You guys said, well, you're just assuming 3 or 4 titles, and I said, no, I'm not even
yes,
caring
you did
about
say
titles.
That.
And afterwards, when you guys said, oh, you're assuming 3 or 4 titles, I said, no, I'm assuming I'm going to be competitive every week, and that's what I care most about as a fan.
But you're assuming...
Watching and rooting for a team that every time I turn the TV on or go to a game, I'm pretty much guaranteed they're going to be competitive
I remember
and be
you
a good team.
You, yes, I'm willing to admit that you said
is,
that.
Well,
in
that's
addition,
what I said.
In addition to in a lot of other things.
And also that implies that they're not going to be competitive without him.
Yes, he's making right. that assumption for that, but I can't make the assumption
they
won't be
exactly. To which I asked you,
exactly.
First of all, what have we always said about Brady, that argument? Then I asked you, name me the team that replaced a franchise quarterback with a franchise quarterback.
The Patriots.
That argument.
They replaced Bledsoe with Brady. Oh, Bledsoe wasn't a franchise quarterback
no,
here.
He was being run out of town okay. at the time anyway. Okay. People
he,
hated him.
He wasn't
was
a franchise quarterback
no,
for
he was
for,
called.
Yes, he was.
Most
he
of
had
the
just 90s. Signed a $100 million
fun of
him.
Deal. No, I'm talking about fans. People
why
were
does,
already
why
making
does
fun Bill of
Belichick
him.
Why does Bill Belichick still to this day say that he may never made that move if he didn't get hurt?
I don't
care
he
was
about
on the verge of getting run
I'm
out
talking
of town?
About fans. He was not oh, a franchise
that's,
everybody
that's
loves you quarterback.
Part is the fans?
But that's what the argument
was. He
was
a franchise quarterback. He wasn't as
he
good
was
as
paid
Brady,
like
but
one.
He was a franchise quarterback.
He was
quarterback.
Paid like one. I don't think at that time he was.
He
I think
was
he got a contract
pick in the draft.
Based on who he was, not who he was at that time.
He was the first overall pick in the draft. He brought a team to the Super Bowl within, what, 2-3 years?
Right.
He was...
And he was paid because of that. I'll agree with you there. He got a $100 million contract because of that.
He was. And if it weren't ever for Tom Brady, he would have gone down as the best quarterback in this team's history.
Right.
He was a franchise
on a
quarterback.
Team with no
Andy.
Super Bowls.
But he was still the franchise quarterback. He was seen as a marquee
and
player
because
in this
of what
league.
You said. He was good in the beginning. He was the number one pick. But at the time he went down, he was not great.
But he was still considered the franchise quarterback.
Well, okay. Then what do you mean by franchise quarterback?
It's
okay. Hall
it's
of Fame.
Like pornography.
Name
you know it when you see it. Bledsoe was a
well that
franchise quarterback.
There goes Eric
is Donovan
talking
McNabb
about porno
a franchise
again.
Quarterback?
No. I mean, not what I'm saying.
Is...
Then I should replace it with Hall of Fame quarterback. Who name a team that's
okay.
replaced a Hall of Fame quarterback with another Hall of Fame quarterback?
All right, then I can't do that.
Well, the 49ers.
I mean,
Montana's the only one.
The 49ers,
that
any team can tie their wagon to a guy and make him the franchise quarterback. Aaron Rodgers right now is a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, and if
no,
he does it,
he got a $60 million deal. He's going to be there for the next 5 years.
I care about what they make for money. I care about his performance.
Right.
He never had any
first
success.
Thing I heard from about Drew Bledsoe was he had a $100 million contract.
I didn't say that.
That's the first thing
that.
I heard. I don't
I
know who
never
said,
said
it.
That.
Well,
one
of you
once.
Said it. Obviously, it was Fred based on the smirk.
I mean,
comparing a guy who went 5-11 or 6-10 to a guy who went to the Super Bowl.
Luckily, you have fried dough to get by with. Good healthy meal.
You all right?
He's just going around and around in circles.
No,
so are you guys.
I absolutely.
We're on opposite sides of the same argument, and just that's how it's going to be.
I'm enjoying this argument today a lot more than I did on Tuesday because Andy's not saying the stuff about the multiple Super Bowls and the 2-14.
See, that annoys me because I said the same stuff on Tuesday, and apparently people just ignored it and didn't listen.
No, I listened to that part, and I listened to the rest of your extrapolation, Andy, that you're not saying today. If you just said today, I mean Tuesday, what you just said right now, I don't think it would have lasted anywhere near as long as it did. And I also said on Tuesday, as long as we're, you know, kind of recounting what we said, how many times did I say, I don't think Andy's opinion is dumb. I think I disagree with it, but I think I can totally understand where Andy's coming from.
The thing we
how many times did I say that on Tuesday?
The thing we don't understand is why.
No, because he's the only one that allowed to be offended if you don't remember every syllable that came out of his mouth.
Oh, I just learned from you, so I don't listen to the other side.
And then we just make fun of everybody because that's what we do.
And now it's poop on Paul time.
What does that have to do with me?
I don't know. You get all sensitive.
I'm not the one that said, if you let me talk, we can get the word out.
You just said that
two minutes
ago.
I said, you're the only one allowed to be.
Oh, Andy's the only one who can talk.
All right.
Right. You're the only one allowed to be upset if someone steps on one of the things you're going to say.
Let's hear what Chris with the TIAN says. He's on the phone right now. Chris, how you doing?
I was doing fine until Tuesday. You guys are killing me with this conversation.
I know.
They canceled your appointment for your weekly facial?
Yeah, no, I actually had to go for my pedicure before the facial this week, so I just pushed the appointment.
Did you get your Brazilian done, too?
No. That's next Tuesday. Listen, Andy, Brady's my number one player of all time, my favorite, hands down. I want him to play another 10 years. I'd love for him to play another 20 years if it was ever possible. But you're talking about a season that would have capped the greatest dynasty ever, in my opinion, instead of just being in the discussion of, they won 3 out of 4 and back-to-back 17-2 seasons. And, yeah, they were pretty good. They had a 21-game win streak in there and had an 18-1 season. That would have been the best of all time. And I don't think anybody would have touched it.
Yeah, but what do you get out of that as a fan?
What do you get out of it? A 19-0 season was more than an undefeated season. That was a cap to everybody who said that Spygate was the only reason that they won those Super Bowls. They won every Super Bowl by 3 points or more. Well, you know what? They went 19-0 without it. That was the cap for the John
But what do you
Tomasi
get from that? That's what I don't understand. As a fan,
as a fan,
when I watch the Red Sox right now, I more than anyone wanted them to win a World Series and break the curse and all that. But when I watched the Red Sox last night and watched Brad Penny pitch,
and
I didn't
play in the
once think about the fact that they won the World Series in 2004 and because
a lot
I'm
of
just
people
watching
do,
the
Andy.
Game.
A lot of people do.
You really root and say we're the greatest ever. It doesn't matter what happens now on Sunday. Like I'm rooting
no,
for
I'm
that
not saying
game.
That. What I'm saying is that when you look back at history and when you get to a point, you know, it's never going to be this good ever.
For anybody.
You're never going to have Brady and Belichick again.
And it's never going to be that good for anybody, Christian. No one will ever go 19-0 until they add 2 games and someone goes 21-0. Just like the Miami Dolphins get kicked out.
I happen to agree with Andy on that. Someone will.
That's why I think it's not as valuable to me as a fan as the potential for more period of time where I can be like, I am the man. I root for the Patriots. My team is the best in the league every year. Every year when we go in, when I read the Vegas odds, when I read this team in power rankings, we're always in the conversation.
But look how long it took.
I like that.
Look how long it took. The Patriots to even challenge what the Dolphins did. 35 years.
And I understand that.
You're talking about an entire generation before someone might even come close to challenging that.
Who cares? Because I want to root for a good team every single week of every single year.
But you're assuming that they won't be without him.
But I don't have to assume with him. I know with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick what I'm rooting for. I know it.
Here's the problem I have. Because they lost that game,
shut up.
It's
not
like
you, sorry.
It's like that season never happened, and that's unfortunate.
The whole 2007 never happened.
It was because you had that great Giant game where they were 16-0. Yep. You had the 2 playoff games, and then you know that night in February, you just sat there.
Yeah, it was almost like it was for naught.
It was terrible, and I didn't want to say it. You know, it took forever for me to say it that it meant nothing because I had so much fun that year watching them play, but. You know, that was for everything. That was for the devastating leap of logic that the writer from the Herald made. That was for the unbelievable loss collapse in the AFC Championship game the year before the Colts, which with everything that's happened seems like it happened 10 years ago, but that was a horrible loss.
Mm-hmm.
And they reload and they come back and then wow, they're 18-0, they go into the game and you're just left with that forever. Now, hey, I'm not going to lie and say that if they go out and they win another 2 Super Bowls with Brady, that'll just you know, hey, they want two more Super Bowls afterwards, so who cares? But right now, we don't have another championship.
But that's not even the most important thing to me. To me, I'm looking at it on a all-the-time basis. The NFL has become such a year, and as a Patriots fan, you're like Fred. Everything is positive. Everything is so great because you're thinking about number one seeds, and we have the best this and the best that, and you assume you're playing in January, and I like that.
Yeah,
who doesn't?
I understand.
Yeah, but you're asking me to choose between a guarantee, perfect season, and a retirement, and a maybe,
right.
maybe
And that's what I'm basing my opinion on. I agree.
Maybe two or three more.
Championship. I'm talking about a guarantee of Tom Brady takes the field for the next period of years, and when he's
I'm
on the field, we're
that.
Good.
Okay. So you think but I can give Andy that assumption that they're going to be good, but
right.
it wouldn't be worth it to me.
It would be me.
To be 2006, as Christian pointed out, in 2007.
Would be to me.
I would rather have the guarantee of the GOAT
as
opposed to I'm there every year,
and
but
Belichick,
I might not but I might
not
win
it. You'll figure something out to remain competitive?
Maybe.
I do. I just
I
think
know.
The league is,
Why
is
maybe?
So it's so
Because I think for years, Fred, we've said there's only a handful of great quarterbacks on the planet. There's six of them. There's not enough to go around, so it's not like you can just go get one.
Yeah, I
they're hard to
I mean,
find.
I agree with Andy. You're not going to replace Brady with a snap of a finger. It's not going to happen.
Absolutely not. I mean, Paul and I were joking about, you know, he was doing a trivia question, like quarterbacks who've taken snaps for the Bears since 85, and it's like 20 guys and 10 of them you never heard of.
Don't you think a lot of that has to do with the front office and the coaching and
well,
the selection
well,
and everything like that?
Yeah, but it's been like five front offices and five coaching.
Well, that's part
it's not like they didn't have
stability is part of it.
No, I know, but it's not like they just had one guy making bad decisions.
The guy's not God.
Who?
Belichick. I mean,
close.
The guy's a human being.
He's freaking close.
you can't just automatically assume that he's going to find another Brady.
When it comes to football, he's pretty much up there.
He is. You'll
and
never
yet,
find.
As we started this whole thing off, he wasn't willing to just hand the reins to Brady from Bledsoe,
right.
regardless of how much better Brady is than Bledsoe, which we can all agree is light years, right?
Yeah.
So, are you going to say he was wrong? He didn't know. He just didn't know yet.
Right.
So, I mean, let's face it. Even Belichick, the greatest coach in the modern era,
I just think that
doesn't know everything.
I don't think that this is the Patriots team of the past. I think that Brady's going to leave someday, and where you're not going to replace Brady with another guy of his caliber. I think you're going to remain competitive. You're going to do the things to keep yourself competitive.
You might.
You might. And Brady might stay for the next 10 years, and we may now win another Super Bowl.
True.
That's a really good chance.
But if Brady stays for the next 10 years, don't you think each and every year you're battling for a division title?
I think yes, absolutely.
Because I do. And if you want to say that's an assumption on my part, that's
See,
not
but those
fair.
Are, those are the assumptions I think.
Because that's what he's shown me for the first
That's an
9
assumption.
Years,
I would that's be, an assumption based on what we've seen. Yes.
Right. I mean, that
you're
was
You're making an
continuation.
Assumption that if he leaves, that they're going to go really bad. I think 2-14.
I would be more sympathetic to your view if there weren't the three previous Super Bowl wins. If 19-0 just came out of the blue and they had that championship season.
Oh, that's part of it, too. You're not taking the three.
I'm not taking those three away. If those three never happened,
then
I might be more sympathetic
to
your point
of
view.
I wouldn't take
a one season for,
one hit
for
wonder,
glory
no
and then suck for the rest
it's
of
It's the way Christian
for,
put it. It's
for
the capping
history.
Of the dynasty, I think.
It's the capping of it, and especially since They've already proven that they were a great team. They had success throughout this entire decade. What a way to cap it off.
That was it. That was the cap right there. That was, Super Bowl, Pittsburgh won 4. Oh, yeah, well, the Cowboys
right.
won 3.
Cowboys
yeah.
won,
well, they
yeah.
won 4,
right.
and they went undefeated. They beat everybody on the schedule.
Of all the dynasties, this would have been considered the greatest dynasty of all time.
Yep.
Boy.
All right, guys, that's all I got. I got to go get my pedicure. I'll talk to you guys.
All right, Christian.
See you, Christian.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we got a lot of emails, some to do with this, a lot of other subjects, and maybe we'll talk about those too.
For pride, honor, and victory, the time has come to defend our trophy, Superliga 2009. The rivalry continues. New England Revolution versus Santos Laguna, Sunday, June 21st, 6:30 p.m. at Gillette Stadium. And remember, MLS Futbolito Tournament before the game. For tickets, call 1-877-GET-RAMS or go to revolutionsoccer.net.
Father's Day is almost here. This year, give Dad a gift he'll really love from the Patriots Pro Shop. Located next to Gillette Stadium, the Patriots Pro Shop has the largest selection of Patriots merchandise anywhere, including official 50th season merchandise. Get Dad a throwback Tom Brady or Gerard Mayo jersey or hats and tees with the old Pat Patriot logo. Not sure what Dad wants? Buy a Patriots Pro Shop gift card and let him pick out the perfect gift. And just for coming to the Patriots Pro Shop, you'll be entered to win the Father's Day gift of a lifetime, a pair of 2009 season tickets. No purchase necessary. The Patriots Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open year-round, Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PatriotsProShop.com. Stop in or log on, and you could win Patriots season tickets. So stop wasting time on the same old gifts and get Dad something you know he'll love from the Patriots Pro Shop.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy. And the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
In a summer filled with concerts, one band will light the sky like no other.
For the first time ever outdoors in New England, Gillette Stadium proudly welcomes AC/DC. Live in concert, July 28th. AC/DC. July 28th, Gillette Stadium. Tickets are on sale now for AC/DC at Ticketmaster.com, the Gillette Stadium box office, or 1-800-745-3000. The one concert you cannot miss. AC/DC at Gillette Stadium. Presented by Live Nation.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
Two shows in a row. Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Is it raining out? I think it's supposed to rain until
Monday.
It's
been raining for like a month and a half.
It's unbelievable. I haven't even had to put my air conditioner on.
Oh, not even close.
Yet.
Not
it's
even
unbelievable.
Close.
Saving me money, but I kind of like to see summer. You know? So.
Yeah. You haven't been in the pool yet, have you?
Just a couple times.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't even been in.
Really?
Shrinkage.
Oh, yeah. Like an egg in a nest. All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. I'm a little upset because they forgot my sandwich. But Cedric was nice enough to get food for everyone else.
Cedric or Sedgwick?
Cedric out of Knoxville. So I'll get to his email now. He says, I was glad to buy lunch for you. I felt that it was time for me to do so before I moved to Chicago. I spent a third of my paycheck on you guys. I'm an international student, by the way. But it was worth it because you make my Tuesdays and Thursdays better. All right, couple questions. First, Dante Stallworth got 30 days for killing a person, and Michael Vick got 2 years for killing animals. How can you explain that? And don't be like most ESPN analysts that you hate, by the way, who say that Stallworth cooperated with the police and Vick lied because Stallworth was drunk and should not have driven that day. For me, driving while drunk is a crime, and killing a person while driving drunk is a homicide. I just do not understand that. I guess I got to get used to the way Americans see people and animals. No offense, by the way. I love America. That's why I'm here. Might you give objective answers and not emotions-driven answers, especially Fred?
I know Stallworth did have to pay an exorbitant sum to the family, and he's getting his license taken away, and, you know, the community service and all that, but I still think, you know, less than a month in prison is a slap on the wrist. I think he should have gotten a lot more than that, even though he was cooperative and did all the right things.
Well, he also has 10 years probation.
Well, 8 years probation, two years house arrest.
House arrest.
Yeah. Which is not
10
a,
total.
Right.
A nothing. I mean, no, house arrest is
and
you,
I'm sure
you're in
that,
prison.
And but, I understand the confusion that Cedric would have here, and I'm sure that if Stallworth hadn't agreed to give this family, I think it's like $5 million.
Reportedly,
this whole thing wouldn't be happening.
I'm not so sure. What we need to understand is
this is very common in Florida, evidently.
This is also very common everywhere.
Yeah, and
the more I hear about the legal system, and you talk to people, and there are just people out there with like dozens of drunk driving issues, and they know somebody it gets buried or you know how many things are just what do they call it? They something without finding, and they basically just pass it along, and it moves through the legal system.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean,
our legal system is an absolute joke.
I read a few weeks ago, a guy at Cape Cod, his sixth DUI conviction.
That's common.
That's ridiculous.
That's insane.
Very, very common.
After the second one.
What generally,
to me, driving anymore.
But they don't do that. And to me, that makes the judge every bit as guilty as the guy because he's putting him back out on the street every time.
Right.
They are not doing anything.
Because what happens with those guys, and I think the guy who killed Nick Aidenhart was a multiple offender.
They usually are because they get away with it for a
long time. He had no license. They took his license away.
Right.
But obviously, they find a way to drive. I understand what Cedric is complaining about. He doesn't want the emotional answer. But the first thing he talked about, I think, is very appropriate in this case. Michael Vick specifically lied to federal agents who he told he would be cooperating with in regards to the scope of that ring, that dogfighting ring, other people involved, the magnitude of the money and how long it's been going on and all that. And he basically stiffed them.
Right. And it wasn't.
You do not lie to federal agents and get away with it.
It wasn't just killing animals.
He got the 2 years, make no mistake, because of what he did to the federal agents.
Right.
Not because of what he did to
animals. It was the lying and the gambling ring across state lines. There was a whole bunch of stuff that added up to 2 years.
Conversely, as Eric pointed out, and again, it's a horrible, horrible tragedy. He killed a person, Dante Stallworth. He stopped his car. He didn't run like a lot of people do.
Yeah. Oh, I give him a lot of credit.
He tried
for
to help the person. He tried
that.
To, do whatever he could from a first aid standpoint.
Yep.
He stayed there. He immediately agreed to take the breathalyzer. He immediately basically waived his rights. He said, I want to do what I want, you know, quote unquote, I want to make this right. I mean, I know there's no way he can possibly make it right. He killed a person.
Right.
But he did whatever he could in his power. He didn't want to drag out. He's a rich man. He could have gone all the way through all legal channels and drag this out and cost,
and found
the state
a comma
of Florida
somewhere in a document that was out of whack.
And
he
could have cost the state of Florida a lot of money in legal mumbo jumbo, which, you know, the red tape of the legal system, as Andy pointed out, is ridiculous. He didn't do any of that. Instead, he kind of threw himself on the mercy of the court. And, oh, by the way, does it replace the loss of a life? No. But if it's $4, $3, $4, $5 million, how many people's lives in that family, the Reyes family, may he have helped with that money? Well, I don't know. I don't know the family situation.
And
maybe it was an affluent family that didn't need it. I don't know.
So. We all know Dante from his having been here.
Yeah, and that's part of it too. I like Dante, and that's definitely clouding my judgment.
That's part of it too. Everybody did.
My point
that's clouding my judgment. I'll be the first to admit it.
I'm not. That's not what I was going to say. My point is that, because we know him, we know that this isn't surprising that he acted this way. We could see that he was that type of guy. He was a good guy when he was here. He was an upstanding character in the locker room. The fact that he came out and acted this way after this didn't surprise me at all. Just because that's the kind of feeling you get from him when you know him. He was a good person.
He seems like a kind person. That played
into the process. He had like endless letters of character witnesses. Everybody, because of who he was and how he handled this situation and basically every other situation he's ever been in,
right.
That benefited him. That helps you in the legal system.
And you know what? I know this is quibbling, and this doesn't mitigate what he did, but supposedly this happened at like 6 in the morning.
It was in the wee hours.
He had been drinking that night and was on his way home, so he might have been sleeping for 3-4 hours, but that stuff is still in you. You know, you can still be said to be over the limit, but you had stopped like hours early and slept and got up to go home.
In your mind, you think, I'm
okay to drive because it was last night but really it was this morning. You know, so
he made mistakes, and he is paying for those mistakes.
Yeah.
I just was very surprised that it was as short a sentence as it was, when it comes down to it,
right now it's between the Reyes family and Dante Stallworth. He has to make right by them. It seems that he has to their satisfaction, or else he wouldn't be able to have this deal.
Yeah, you're probably right. Now, I saw the same stuff that Andy saw about that's kind of the way they – this is not a really uncommon verdict for these kinds of offenses in Florida, I guess. I heard that Roger Cossack, legal analyst for ESPN, he talked about some of that stuff. But I'll stand by the Michael Vick thing. He didn't get 2 years for the dogs.
No, he didn't
get very much jail time for that. He got it for what he did.
That's right.
To the feds.
And also, he didn't have anybody writing letters about how good a guy he was and how this was a one mistake. I mean, he had already had legal track
it's
history.
An intricate, plus
annoyed people and treated people poorly and
an intricate, thought out, premeditated plan to kill these dogs and do all these in the way they executed the dogs. I mean, listen, drunk driving, you don't have to get on anybody's high horse. Everybody knows it's wrong. But like you said, Fred, maybe it was a couple hours removed. Now, he still blew a 1.26, which is well over the limit. But maybe he felt it was last night. Or, you know, it was 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I got a couple hours sleep.
Right.
It was 7:30 the next morning when it happened. Maybe he felt like he was okay by then.
Yeah.
It's not a premeditated decision to say, I'm going to go out and pick someone off tonight.
Right. Plus, it's an accident. I mean, there is a decision involved that makes it a bad choice that leads to it. But that's like if you're going 85 on the highway, you're going significantly over the speed limit to the point where you're endangering others.
And you consciously know you're doing
it. Right. So does that mean you're a terrible human being who tried to go out and kill somebody? No. An accident happened. You were doing something wrong at the time that helped lead to the accident.
Yeah. And all that said, if Dante Stallworth goes out a year and a half from now and is involved in some sort of DUI...
Throw the book at him. Right.
Well, it didn't happen to Leonard Little, did it?
But it never does. It doesn't happen to anyone.
It should
have. The thing that's being missed is you don't even have to be rich and famous. Our drunk driving system is screwed up. That's a major problem in this country.
We should get into with those cars where you have to breathe into it before the car will even start up.
I actually know somebody very well who has one of those. Because the system is so screwed up, he's gotten away with it, been in accidents, driven off bridges, and either a friend covered it up or this lawyer got him out of this because of this technicality.
But if
the system is screwed up.
If you're someone like Leonard Little who killed somebody while driving drunk, how do you, in good conscience, get behind the wheel of a car, turn the key, start driving when you know that in the past, that very action that you're doing now ended somebody's life.
Can't help yourself.
How do you do that?
It's not going to happen. I'm not really drunk. I'm fine. Yeah. I only had a couple drinks. I mean, it's just one of those things.
I don't know the Leonard Little chronology. He has two offenses, correct? What came first?
He killed a woman.
The death came first, and he had another DUI after that.
About 6 years later, I think.
Yeah, I don't know the exact
something
time,
like that.
Yeah.
It was a while later, but still.
I mean,
when I heard the news of it again,
long enough later.
Exactly.
No, I agree. I don't care if
38 million years later.
I don't care if, you're right. I didn't know. I just didn't know the chronology of it. I didn't know what had happened first.
Cedric also says, do you guys think that we'll be able to keep Wilfork? Because I have a feeling he's going to ask for big bucks. He deserves it, I think. And New England will not be willing to give that kind of money. What are your thoughts? Well, that's obviously the case.
Those are my thoughts.
I think he's gone.
Yeah.
Cedric's
at
thoughts.
At some point,
are
he's gone.
My thoughts.
What about Derek Burgess? It's been a while since I've heard about trade rumors regarding him.
Well, the funny thing about that is the stuff we were hearing was supposedly really old anyway. when we heard it,
yeah.
Cable was on the record saying, oh, yeah, that was a month ago or whatever. We talked about that. Yeah, we talked about it, but nothing much came of it.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Nah.
I think they're going to go with what they have.
We talked about it a little
bit
Tuesday.
You would have cracked me up if peppers. You had said peppers there. I think they're going to go with peppers.
talked about it on Tuesday, yeah. And some of the people, I think, on Pats fans.
Pats fans. Tried
yeah, Pats
to tie
fans
two
were talking
two.
About it. And I think it's a logical tying of 2-2. They signed Greg Ellis, very similar kind of, you know, skill set. Is Derek Burgess, does that make him more tradable now? Maybe. I don't know. But I kind of agree with Andy and Eric. I don't think it's going to happen.
One of my friends argued that Brandon Marshall is better wideout than Larry Fitzgerald, and I profoundly disagree. Help me make my case. I'll make him listen to your great show.
Other than just saying I agree with Cedric?
Watch the playoffs?
Well, I mean, if you look at the playoffs with Fitzgerald, how can you say that really right now anyone is better than
just
him.
Ridiculous.
Yeah,
he's ridiculous.
Probably
he's
the best receiver in the game.
Best in
which
the
means
NFL.
He's probably yeah. due for a letdown year this year because everybody has that in the back of their mind, and you right. can't keep that up for that long.
Yeah, I think you'd rare size, speed, strength,
hands
yeah, route running. He's supposedly a technician when it yeah. comes to, you know, like Randy Moss with the way he's so precise
he's
with his
all.
Routes.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one guy I think has all those physical tools. We'll find out. If he ever gets someone who can get the ball to him, is Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Because I think he's probably faster than Larry Fitzgerald. Because Larry Fitzgerald wasn't considered a burner
right.
coming out of college. And yeah. Calvin Johnson,
he looked
is.
Really fast on that touchdown in the Super Bowl, though.
Yeah, oh, no,
minutes.
He's not slow. Ooh. But he was like a 4.45 guy or something like that.
Yeah, he was not a...
Not like a 4.3 guy right. like some of those other guys.
Calvin the only
Johnson
downside
is
to him is his father.
Silly.
I hate his father.
Larry Johnson's? I mean, Larry Fitzgerald?
Yeah.
Why?
Isn't his dad the writer?
Yeah.
Hate him.
Really?
Really.
Do you know him?
No.
Do you ever meet him?
No.
I mean, like, see,
Andy hates him.
You see him at the combine?
Did he yell at you on the sideline?
No, he wears the whole shtick. He writes about his son 24/7, but he's supposed to be objective.
Okay.
Then he wears the jerseys
so
to basketball
that's
games.
Okay.
He wears, and he's always got the thing in his ear. He's one of those people that always has
Bluetooth?
A Bluetooth in his ear. Like, at a game, he's covering a game with a Bluetooth in his ear.
I don't like
Says
that.
A lot about a person.
By the way, Eric, I took a look at your site.
Almost like a pit bull.
Not bad at all. Keep it up. Don't feel embarrassed to tell your Casanova stories to Fred. He does not get women that often like you do.
Very funny.
Fred figured out by now that I like to pick on him. Paul and Andy, keep on being objective because Fred is driven by his emotions. All right, guys. Really appreciate you. Keep up the good work and enjoy the meal. You guys are the best. So that's
Thank you, Cedric.
With today's meal.
Excellent lunch, Cedric. Thank you.
Very, very good.
Was it really 2/3 of his paycheck or whatever?
I don't know.
Wow. We don't have to get to the
deep.
That would really make
me
feel bad and
care.
Guilty.
It's here. Fred's I mad. Can pick it up if you answer. If you take this call right now, I'll run out and get it.
You want me to take a call? Oh, Swig's on the phone. Swig, how you doing?
Am I on? Oh.
Oh, wait a minute.
Guys, how you doing? I'm a big fan.
13 minutes.
Andy Hart, you have disturbed the gods. Of PFW Nation, with your crazy ideas, you're insane, I don't know what's going on, but to appease the gods, you must be punished. I'm thinking flogged while getting a manicure. Dude, I gotta tell you guys, I listened to Tuesday's show on the podcast last night, I almost pissed my pants. That was the greatest show ever.
Really?
I've been listening for like several presidents. I don't know, I've been a long time since I've been listening. Fred opens the show with the S word, and that's what I mean. That was people forgot about that because it got so crazy.
Well, because Eric had a potty mouth the whole show.
That's the other thing. He's talking about things I won't even say, Eric. I love you. I seriously, Eric. I'll be honest. A lot of times you're a little curmudgeon, and
you
know
off,
this
right?
that way.
Yeah.
Did you earn my respect yesterday?
See,
not only with the zingers, but not backing down. Andy's face must have been bright red.
Oh.
I'm sure.
Oh. No, our jaws dropped though. Both Andy. When have we ever had a show that Andy and I were the voices of reason?
I know.
That's what I'm saying. It was out of control. Yesterday was off the charts.
Andy's face was so lit up. It had approved by David Stern written on it.
This was the best off-season football show I've ever listened to in my entire life.
Boy, that's really
phenomenal
setting
job.
That's really setting
Before
the bar,
I forget,
though
I got to say, Fred,
yeah.
I love you. Oh. You're a very important person in my life.
But
the show is great.
Yeah.
Stop with the fried dough. You got. It's no good.
Yeah.
You're killing your heart. If I tune in one day and we hear the show's no longer on, I do some digging on the internet, I find out Fred Kirsch had a massive coronary due to a large piece of fried dough stuck in a ventricle.
But I figure if I pass away on the air, it'll be for good radio.
It's almost like the old Saturday Night Live skit with the Chicago Bears guys when we're passing around the fried dough. It's like
we had those defibrillators.
But the funny part is, hook me up to you're too late, Swig, because he had half a fried dough today.
Yeah, he went off.
And he ate the half a fried dough because his sandwich wasn't here, but his large steak and cheese just arrived.
Has just arrived. Yep.
Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's washing it down with some healthy.
We'd get the Pepsi, but they don't have it there, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple of things real quick. Number one, Andy, I'm not going to start with this whole thing. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but I agree with Eric. And here's the thing. And I just had this conversation with a guy, pizza place down the street. Every single year, somebody wins the Super Bowl. Some of the teams are great, some are not. The Steeler team that beat the Seahawks a few years ago, I wouldn't put them anywhere near one of the greatest teams in the NFL.
Right.
Nobody's ever gone 19-0. The Patriots have already won 3 Super Bowls. And if Tom Brady left tomorrow, and why do we always do this? We always say Belichick won't do this, he can't do that, you know, whatever. Don't you think that he would do everything in his power to get a guy in here not as good as Tom Brady, because there isn't another guy who goes to Tom Brady unless you're getting Peyton Manning, but he wouldn't make trades or move things around or do something insane to bring a guy in to be competitive enough that they would be good, they would field a good competitive team consecutively as long as this organization is still in place?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, all right. There you go. You know what? I can live with that. I don't know I can live with that.
But I think he tries to do a lot of things that don't always work out. I mean, as Paul said, he's great. He's the best.
And they could try to do 19-0 again, too, but they probably never will.
Fred said, he's pretty close.
He tried to replace cornerbacks with Dwayne Starks, and he tried to replace linebackers with Monty Bison. I know I'm being extreme,
but
they remained competitive.
Because they had Brady, so you're on my side. Thank you, Paul.
But I'm thinking without Brady, I already saw them do it without Brady and remain competitive. So,
but you know doing it for 1 year with Matt Castle with a bad schedule is not the same as we're going to go with Matt Castle for the next 5.
Plus, they had Brady in that game, and he spent most of it on his back looking up.
Right. I guess I just got to side with the known versus the unknown.
The Super Bowl. Giants.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the game last year.
Brady played in that game.
It's funny because we're all using the same logic. We'll take the known versus the unknown, but putting it to different use. You're taking the known of the Super Bowl. I'm taking the known of want Tom Brady.
I know they'll compete with Brady. That's why I said
I think the bottom line is
I'm sorry to interrupt. I got to run. Have a great day. Thanks again. The show yesterday, Tuesday, was fantastic.
See you, Swig.
All
right, Swig.
I just don't value, I guess, the whole 19-0 thing as much as you people do. I think that's the bottom line.
That must be it.
But
I get no joy 3 years later when my team sucks.
Again.
And I know I'm assuming you might not. But I don't. That means nothing to me 3 years later. That's for sports writers and that's for analysis and all that. But as a fan, I'm thinking about Sunday at 1.
Well, you think about that, but you always have 2007 in the back of your mind.
You end up
you
a loser
always
team.
Have that.
I'm
you
thinking
you're
about
a Cowboys fan who's talking about the 90s. You're a Dolphins fan that forever was talking about this. I want to live in the here and now as a fan, and the here and now is Sunday at 1 when we take the field against this team.
I agree with you on
that. That's what I want to live with.
What I'm saying is I think that
history is for books.
What I'm keeping in mind is just
which
how
never
hard
opened.
It is to win the
how
Super Bowl.
How hard is it, Paul?
To win it all. I think that the chances are you probably won't win multiple Super Bowls,
it's hard
or three
to
or four Super Bowls
I agree.
Going forward with Brady.
Right.
Especially if you consider
but
all the factors about it's the, you know, he's the 10 years are going to be the last 10 years of his career, more than likely. His play at some point, you would think,
gonna
is going
to
taper
diminish.
Off a
right.
little bit.
True.
Look at Favre. He was a great quarterback
and
for a
look
while.
At how good you can be and not win it.
And look at Favre. All these teams are clamoring after a terrible quarterback because they all think the quarterback's the difference.
Peyton Manning was pretty good, and he's got just one.
Was pretty good.
And he's been in the league longer than Brady.
Right.
A big part of your argument has been the here and now, fans wanting just whatever game is up next, that's the most important, winning right away. Don't you think that there was, and I think a lot of fans were guilty of this, after the Patriots won the second and the third Super Bowl, don't you think a lot of them started to get a little complacent? Like a lot of them said, you kind of expect them to be in the Super Bowl. It's sort of like they almost took for granted that all those 40 years previous didn't exist. That it was like, yeah, only the last 10 years.
There was a little of that.
There was a little bit of that.
Yeah, but I kind of like that, that you're so good that you're expecting, you know, we
kind of why I want to keep Belichick and Brady together. I want to expect every year.
Yeah, I think you're right, Eric.
I want that sense of entitlement. I'm entitled to compete for Super Bowls. That's what we do.
And it's kind of like the Red Sox are the same way. I don't really care what happens anymore the way I used to from April to October.
That's what I was getting at.
I'm waiting for the playoffs. The Patriots, to a lesser extent because there's only 16 games, but they've rendered irrelevant September to December because it's all about winning titles. I think that's a great thing.
But
I think it's a great thing.
When they won the first one.
Can you imagine in the 90s if the Red Sox were 8-0 against the Yankees during the regular season? I mean, that'd be it. That'd be the highlight of the season.
They put a banner up for that.
Yeah.
But like when they won 36, when they won Super Bowl 36, my friends and I were all like, I can't believe they actually won this game. If they never win another thing again, I'll be happy because I live to see them win a Super Bowl.
That's dumb talk, though. That's emotional spur of the moment talk. No one really believes
but
that.
But then they won the second. I love you when you're in bed with the girl.
How many times do we say that as Red Sox fans? 3 years later, we're like, when are we going to win it again?
But then you win the second one, and you think, I can't believe they even won a second one. Then they won a third one. I mean, it's almost like every time they win one, you're like, I can't believe that they've had this much success.
Never gets old, though. Never gets old.
No, the winning doesn't get old, but it's like, You've sort of satisfied a need, and anything else is just sort of like icing on the cake, sort of.
If you could guarantee me more than one championship in that 10 years, I'd be wholeheartedly on Andy's side.
I don't even need that guarantee.
I know you don't. No,
I just want to compete.
You articulated it very well today,
good.
Andy, unlike what you did on Tuesday. Very well
Go
today.
Go back and listen to the show, Paul.
Very well
Go back and listen to the show. I know you
opened
won't.
Up your fat ears and listened today. And
my ears aren't fat. Come on.
It's true. It's actually the one part of your body that's not fat.
I would still take
He works out his ears.
No, I know that.
If that were true, his tongue would be the skinniest thing in his body.
I would want to have – I mean, I wouldn't – obviously – Maybe you want to count the 19-0 as two, so maybe three is the one that you would say, but the more Super Bowls you can win, to me, I don't care
can
about 19-0 over that.
And ask him.
You know, I almost sent an email Tuesday just to see what Bill would say. I mean, obviously, I wouldn't have been sending the email directly to Bill before you guys say, no wonder why he hates you. No, but I almost sent a quick little shot just to see if we could get. I don't think he'll play along, though.
I don't either. He's not big on hypotheticals.
He's not big on hypotheticals. Nor should he be.
So ridiculous.
Exactly.
Bretton Swindle.
By the way, if he ever was on my side, you people might as well just leave because I'm going to be more insufferable than I've ever been.
That played into my reasoning for not, for not sending it. Because, you know, like Fred said at the beginning of the show.
Don't ask a question you don't know the answer to.
Don't ask questions you don't know the answer to.
Brett in Switzerland says, the past few weeks the podcast have been better than ever. I've been laughing at the gym and while waiting for the trams here in Zurich and getting more than a few looks. The Brady and 19-0 debate is one for the history books. I agree that Belichick has the ability and team around to have winning seasons and make playoffs. The fact remains that without Brady, they would not necessarily be Super Bowl caliber. She may not be someone you guys would pick, but I would choose Vanessa Marsil as the hottest woman in the world, or Giselle.
Absolutely. Oh, not Giselle, but Vanessa Marsil. But yes.
I don't even know who this is.
Vanessa Marsil was on Charmed the other day. That wasn't Alyssa
Vegas,
Milano.
Vegas.
I'm sorry.
Remember when we were watching those shows?
Soap star one. She was a soap star. Yeah.
Little brunette.
Little brunette.
Smoking
yes,
hot.
Absolutely. Good call.
But not Giselle.
Melrose Place
at
the end.
Giselle is not even in the same.
No.
No offense, Tom.
I will be back home
feels
in Mass.
Weird.
You know, I think, though, Giselle has more of a look that other cultures like, not an American look. You know, like in Europe and South America, I think her look might be more appealing to them than it is,
well,
you know,
obviously.
Us,
I mean,
us
she's
red-blooded
the
American.
Most successful model
I just
of
think
the world.
She has a model kind of look.
Yeah.
But even
I'm
then,
not necessarily
I saw
in
Heidi
love
Klum
with the model
last
look.
Night. I think Heidi Klum is so much hotter.
I do, too.
Anyway,
Heidi Klum is kind of atypical of that supermodel look, though.
She has a Barbie doll.
It's usually that real fierce kind of, you know, I don't know, that face. It just looks so mean.
Like Kate Moss-like
boobs, I think,
face.
Too. And I like a nice rack.
Oh, yeah, she does.
Reminded me of Billy Madison.
Don't have a nice rack.
So anyway, Brent says he's going to be in town from Switzerland next week. Wants to maybe take a tour, meet us. So arrange that with Doc, and we'll get something done. That's good.
I just thought of a new. We should have people send in photos of them listening to the podcast Because everybody tells us, you know, I always get weird looks because I'm listening to the podcast and laughing at X on a plane, on a subway in Zurich. Be cool if we had, like, photos of people where they're listening. Show that we really are global.
She was in Kill Bill. Vanessa Marceau.
I never saw Kill Bill. Kill Bill movies. I haven't seen them.
Andy, you've seen them, haven't
you? So was the guy who flogged himself to death.
Okay.
Fred was in Kill Bill?
No, the other guy.
David Carradine.
Yeah.
Kung Fu.
He really did flog himself to death.
He did?
That's
not the first. Won't be the last.
Kill Bill and Kill Bill 2 were great movies.
Now, how does that exactly work?
What?
Why are you asking a question like that?
I figured Eric would know.
That's so obvious. Like when, why did you have to go on with the line of questioning?
Because I'm Andy Straight Man. You wouldn't know about
Eric,
being
you
a straight
can't
man.
Be my straight man.
Tommy.
She was not in Kill Bill.
Okay, why is she filmed in front of that then?
She was in the release party. Tom in Exeter, UK. My phone's ringing.
There's that iPhone again.
I can't answer it right
now.
It's
actually working.
Happy ring.
Last week I made a rather bold claim that the show was lacking without Fred's input. Since then I have been made to reconsider my assessment by the other PFW boys. Following Fred's not-so-subtle S-bomb at the beginning of Tuesday's show and the rather far-fetched comment of Favre being a worse person than Vic, I was ready to retract my statement. However, enter the conversation about 19-0 in the comparison to spending a night with a hot woman, in this case Megan Fox, and Fred restores my faith. If she has a toe where her thumb is, that's kind of upsetting. I don't like that. It'll stink. Game, set, and match to Mr. Kirsch. All hail the king.
The Kirsch came through on that one.
In regards to the top 10 opponents poll, this is the one that we have on Patriots.com right now.
Yep.
I was very surprised that Peyton Manning was not included. I only got to NFL in 2002, so I can't really comment on a lot of the battles with certain players, but the Manning versus Brady rivalry has produced some epic encounters, and I would have thought he would have at least got an honorable mention. As I believe Paul is on the committee for the 50th anniversary things, was he up for debate in the experts' eyes?
But we're all on the committee for those, so you can make fun of Eric and Andy and Fred,
too. I wasn't
too.
There that day.
But the Patriots basically have owned Peyton Manning.
The story has been
with a handful of
bitch-slapping
exceptions.
Manning.
I mean, there's a couple of exceptions, and Manning has sort of
notable
leveled
ones,
that off a little bit lately.
But
he's won, I think, four of the last five.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, the big ones.
He hasn't been a notable competitor.
You know, the Patriots
have
won.
They've owned him.
If it weren't for that,
he'd have more Super Bowl rings probably.
And if you were just going by, you know, the most notable opponents or the rivals kind of thing, then Peyton Manning would be on that list. But John Elway never lost to the Patriots.
No.
Right.
11-0 career as a starting quarterback against the Patriots.
You know, really,
that was the easiest pick we had.
Who has hurt the Patriots the most over his career?
Yeah, and Peyton Manning doesn't fall in that category.
Right.
He's been hurt more times.
We sort of separated.
Patriots.
I think we used like the honorable mentions in that one, if I'm not mistaken. We used as kind of one-hit wonders.
Tyree.
Some of them.
David Tyree.
David Tyree.
When that one hurt was just, you
so
know,
excruciating,
so, yeah,
it was
yeah.
impossible to ignore.
Right. Let's see. Who's this?
You know what's so funny though? Fred still considers the Giants champions. Wouldn't you want to have wanted to move on faster than ever?
I'm not.
I still haven't been able to get my mind around that comment from last week.
I just thought
it was that he's blocked out the fact that Pittsburgh won the ensuing championship. But no, because he's still fixated on that game.
I think part of the reason, Fred, is
because Pittsburgh has won their two titles this decade with teams that weren't overly impressive teams overall.
Maybe because the team last
year was overly impressive, then what? I mean, they were the best team in the league.
And maybe because
the 05 one is one of the five worst Super Bowl champs ever, no question. Sixth seed that limped into the playoffs and lucked out, no doubt. But last year's team, they were as good as anybody, absolutely anybody.
I think it was a weak year.
It was a little bit of a weak year. There hasn't been a strong year in 10 years.
Well, when the Patriots are in full strength, they're the
best team.
Right. They're the hammer, and the rest of the league is the nail.
I would agree with you, but they're dominating inferior opponents.
Let's see. JD writes in.
Well, when the Patriots are good, it's a strong
league. I'm a little disappointed, by the way, that we haven't had more fan reaction on our show about the top 10 lists.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping to get some people.
The lists are too good. There's no debate. We're right.
Well, I think the moments one that we just released a couple days ago, the top moments.
We released that?
I think
I thought there was opponents we did.
No,
opponents
was
the last
there.
One, yeah.
But moments has gone up. This is one where we didn't vote on.
No.
Just the fans are going
to
vote on. So if top10.patriots.com, you can you know, we came up with 50 moments of which the fans will now rank their top 10.
A lot of arguing, too.
Yeah.
Some really funny arguments.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's some obvious ones, you know, the Vinatieri snowball kick. But, you know, after you get into, you know, after that, there's a lot of subjective opinions.
It's too bad we couldn't have put a camera in there to record those meetings, because there was some classic moments in those meetings.
I think it would have been nice. It would have been funny if they were, you know, you had a camera in there, but then you really had a nice edit job with some of the specific things. There were some classics.
Oh, yeah.
Who's this from, Doc?
Shots of people in the meetings.
Swig.
Working out at his local gym in a PFW in progress t-shirt. Well done, Swig.
Nice. Okay, JD writes in, Fred Kirsch, head of Patriots Football Weekly, Paul Perillo, writer for Patriots Football Weekly when not slumming on EEI. Eric Scalavino has no formal artistic training. And Andy, really enjoyed the debate on 19-0 Brady quarterback for the New England Patriots retiring versus 18-1 in the Super Bowl and all the other permutations.
That explanation took longer than the argument.
I have to agree, 19-0 is too much of a historical achievement. Sorry, Andy, after insults, writers of questions in their mothers on Patriots Football Weekly blogs, but there is no guarantee that Brady will win any more Super Bowls. Yes, I would like to think he will, but the Patriots have been close to winning a fourth and fifth since. I believe they would have crushed Chicago, yet they did not. As good as the team is, there are no certainties. You take the achievement you can obtain over one you might obtain. N'est-ce pas?
Go ahead, Eric.
N'est-ce pas?
Very well
thank
done,
you,
right
thank
there.
Thank you, Eric.
You got to give Andy credit.
Eric,
on that.
Former kicker for an elementary school team and resident sesquipedalian for Patriots Football Weekly,
Eric,
despite his lack of formal artistic training, helped Paul with N'est-ce pas?
It's French. It means isn't
and
it?
Sesquipedalian. Yes,
sesquipedalian. Feet, right?
No, having to use long words. It comes from the words being like about a foot long. That's sort of what the definition derives from. But
I don't make any false pretenses. I don't have a very large vocabulary. I have a large stomach, however.
True that.
Let's see. James writes in. Who's this? James in the UK.
Can I call a timeout? Can I take a quick 20?
Why? What are you going to do?
Poop.
What would your answer be if it was just a Super Bowl or 10 more years of Brady? Because it seems like that one in particular was the guarantee of Super Bowl. I agree.
Now I'm on Andy's side.
If it's just a run-of-the-mill
Super Bowl, right.
I'll take my shot that I can win more than one.
Absolutely.
Or at least one.
Now I'm
with 10 more years of Brady. And
I'm going to
be relatively certain, as Andy pointed out today, that they will be competitive for all those Super Bowls.
I'm just close to an F-bomb, so you know.
Now I'm with you.
Get your finger on the button.
I'm just poking right through the bars.
No, I'm with you.
I'm with you, too.
But 19-0 is different.
Exactly. Did I ever get an answer on what if the Belichick was the inserted instead of Brady to the equation?
If they win 19-0 and Belichick retires, I'd still take the 19-0.
Yeah, I would as well. Now, you would be...
Not me.
That's okay.
Wow, so you think... This is kind of a bigger scope, I think. You think it's Brady, not Belichick?
No.
No, he said he would.
Same answer to both. I want to keep Brady and Belichick together. You can keep your 19-0 season. Print all the T-shirts you want. I'll keep winning for a decade.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
No, he's still
James
being
in the
moronic.
UK loved your argument at the end of Tuesday's show. Honestly, I think it is one of the best discussions you have ever had, and it was a great question from Scott. Now, I never like to agree with Andy, but I am so with him on this one.
Yeah,
yes,
who's
not,
this?
This is James from the UK.
Genius.
Yes, not going 19-0 hurt like hell, but people remember numbers of titles, not how they were won.
I agree, and I wish we had four instead of three.
I think the way you answer this is to ask, how many Super Bowls does it take to make up for not going 19-0?
Right. That is the answer. If you had that answer... It would make it easier to make a difference.
But it's a fair question.
Mine is zero.
I want to take issue with one of his points, though.
But that's zero.
Andy is articulating
that very
well.
I want to just be good.
He said people remember numbers of titles, not how they were won. That would not be the case in this instance, because everybody would remember that they went 19-0 to win the title.
That's right.
And they would also remember that they won four titles in the decade. At least, and unless they win another one this year.
Now, you know, I'm not a Cowboys fan.
Without Brady,
I admit this.
Good luck.
I know the Cowboys have a number of titles. Mm-hmm. In my mind, they're all just titles.
Right.
You know?
And now, if the Cowboys had ever gone 17-0, 19-0.
But I remember how the Miami Dolphins won in 72.
Exactly.
Yeah, because they told you about it for 30 years because they sucked.
But that's the whole point.
Yeah, because you'd suck.
It stands out because it's the only time it's ever happened. That people would remember the way that happened.
For a guy who was very entertained by Mercury Morris, you're painting an awfully different picture now.
Oh, he's a clown. He's a great clown. He's one of the best clowns that's ever lived, but he's a clown.
All right, so continue.
Andy has been pretty straightforward about this. He doesn't care if they don't win any Super Bowls in the next 10 years. He knows, you have to give him that assumption. He knows they're going to be in competition every year.
One thing he did admit is he thinks he's probably undervaluating or doesn't have the same value on 19-0 that we do. That has to be the case.
That's one. And the other part is he's automatically, in my opinion, assuming that they will not be competitive for those 10 years without him.
Right.
Right.
So on one side, we have four Super Bowls with one undefeated season. On the other side, against three Super Bowls in X amount of years of Brady, how many more rings do the Patriots need in order for the 19-0 side to say, I'll keep Brady? Then you ask, is that number of rings likely to happen? I know that the question has the assumption that without Brady, the Patriots aren't winning any more rings, but that's an assumption I'm happy in making. Personally, I will take having Brady because I think there is a good chance of him winning two more Super Bowls in his career. Of course there's a chance. But there's probably not a chance he's going to do 19-0.
I can't argue against there being a chance that they could win two more Super Bowls in the next 10 years.
I thought
years.
You said they were going 19-0 this year.
No, I never said that.
Yeah, I think you did say that.
I said they were going to win hands down, and what did I say? 13-3.
The front page of that Globe.
You did say 13.
I said 13-3.
Kirsch, 19-0.
Yeah, but I said 13-3.
Wouldn't it be crazy, though, we're talking about how it's so unbelievable, it's never going to happen again. Wouldn't it be just our luck that they go 19-0
again? And I'd be proven right.
Right.
Because you people are assuming you can't go 19-0 again.
I'm not assuming you can't.
You're assuming that was your only chance. A lot of assuming going on.
I'm not assuming you can't do it. I'm just saying that the odds are greatly stacked against it. I'd rather have the guarantee that I did it than have to hope that they can do it again.
I'll say this, and then let's just say Brady retired after that game. I'd say, to me, in my mind, there'd be more chance in the next 10 years they'd win another Super Bowl without Brady than they'd go 19-0 with him.
That's accurate.
Wow.
That's accurate.
I couldn't disagree more.
You
think that there would be more likely that they would go undefeated again?
Yes. With Brady.
That's crazy.
Well, you know. All right. Now, Jonas.
I just got an ice cream headache trying to think of that one.
Jonas has written in, and he says he'd like to throw his hat in the ring for a new opening. He was very impressed with Gilligan, and he thinks he has one that's up there. So
Which
one
ready? Do you like most?
Doc's going to play this, so let's hear Jonas's opening.
Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The last 30 seconds, you will laugh your butt off.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
He's led a rather gifted life.
Okay.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Paul Perillo.
He's been trying to get it up for years.
I don't know. Maybe it's the calzone.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
I guess O.J. Simpson's a better person from this day on than
Andy Hart.
They always have a back door, just like
Eric Scalavino.
According to him, he had just left brunch with a friend.
I would say right now, in this point of time, he's a better human being than Brett Favre.
This is PFW in Progress.
One time when I was going through the mall Christmas shopping, the woman grabbed me and gave me a thing. And it really makes it look a lot better.
Gave you a thing.
infection.
Did you already give it to her?
Yes, Eric.
You'll be giving her that later?
So what?
I got a discount.
So she gave you a hand job?
Oh, we got it up. She only did like 5 minutes worth of work, but...
It sounds like there needs to be more to that story that was out there.
Well, you know, everything was looking good. So I could see getting it then. That would be a good reason to get it. Anyway, webradio@patriots.com is the email to send your complaints. Webradio@patriots.com.
All right. Hey, good job.
That's a pretty good open.
It's good to see that our listeners are
doing more than
the void.
Yeah.
You know.
Especially that one. That one was self. I mean, it even had the little open with the
the
warning disclaimer and everything.
It's good stuff. Good stuff. All right, Jonas.
Plus, it's an ad for Patriot Place.
Very good. Are you one of the Jonas Brothers? No. Well,
Jonas,
why are they
Jonas?
So hot?
Once again, Eric, you tell us.
Eric, what is the big deal with the
ass,
Jonas Brothers?
Chest, face.
I mean, you know, if you're a 17-year-old and you're wearing around scarves like they do,
you go ass.
You need to get punched in the face. You need to, you know, you need a good beating, I think. You know? Well,
it's
going to
be all right, Paul?
What happened?
If you wear a scarf, you need to get a good beating.
You do.
I kind of agree with him.
Yeah.
But just the way he says it. And then Andy, ass, chest. We're all going to hell.
Tree Hugger in Oregon says, that was one heck of an argument. I wish I could have seen the veins on Andy's massive forehead bulging as he
they
shouted.
They weren't as bad
forth.
On Tuesday as they were today.
No. I'm in agreement with Fred, Paul, and Eric. I would take 19-0 and let Brady retire. But here's a twist for those bargaining for football immortality. What if the deal was having 19-0, but Brady gets traded to another team? I'd still take 19-0.
Again, I'd still take 19-0.
Yeah.
There's really not much you could give me that I would not take 19-0.
I really would not do that one. Because then not only do I not have him, I'm watching him on a weekly basis on ESPN kick
I'd
ass.
I'd be less likely to do that one than the first one, but...
He's rubbing my face in it.
Wouldn't be the first time. For you.
Oh, wow. Let's
You're
see.
You're just so vulgar. You are going to hell faster than any of
he
us.
He really is.
You know, first of all of you break sudden, one rule of your religion.
What?
You know.
What happened? Eric, did something happen, like, to traumatize you to, like, you said, screw this righteous life that I've been leading. It's not working for me. I'm just going to turn it 180 degrees and go the other way. Did
Let
something
me answer
happen
his.
Recently?
I went to pfwprogress.com, and in the threads, the one that's about the guys, the I Hate Eric thread, mm-hmm. has the most posts of any post on there.
But
was
all,
that it?
Are they all about hating Eric?
Yep.
No, well, that's because there's two guys who put posts up all the time on there. So it's really just three people. So it's really not that big a deal.
Other than his parents, nobody really hates him.
It's like two morons arguing back and forth, so the thread looks like it's really long.
Right.
So.
That's
the way those things work.
Well,
yeah.
Fred.
Yeah.
Can I have a quick TO for a tangent?
Another one.
Go ahead.
You're running out of timeouts there, fella. You're going to be Chris Webber pretty soon.
I'm allowed five per half.
It's NBA.
Do you know about the 500th consecutive sellout at Fenway last night?
Yes, I do.
Did you hear about
Angry
that's right.
Paul strikes again?
Here we go.
Angry.
Right, so the Red Sox celebrated their 500th consecutive sellout last night.
All right. Did you hear about any of the stuff they
Yeah, they
the
gave away $510 coupons.
Okay. What do you think of that?
I thought it was pretty good.
Okay, so I stand alone.
Paul was mad they didn't give it to all 37,800. He thinks that would have been cool. But giving it to some people, that's just stupid.
Well, in particular, the hot dogs. You know, they gave away 500
all right.
hot dogs.
Imagine Paul sitting next to the guy that got the coupon and Paul didn't.
Right, he's last
would
in
eat
line.
Paul would eat his arm.
Okay. Well, I don't know what else they get. What
no,
the
Fat
measuring?
Max measuring tape.
Okay. Twin
you
Enterprise.
You couldn't give away one of those to everybody that came in?
The Twin Caps. Well, the Twin Enterprises gave
Paul.
Away... $510 coupon. So that cost them $5,000. Then they gave away 500
but that's
hot dog
Twins.
Things.
I'm talking about
well,
the Red Sox.
All their partners did it.
I kind of agreed with Paul
like
in that.
Like the $10 gift card for Dunkin' Donuts. You couldn't just give away one to everybody?
You couldn't get like one voucher for a free hot dog to every fan that came into the stadium?
I mean, half the people probably wouldn't use it anyway.
One
how
each.
How much money that
37,000 just
no,
for one game.
You're proving my point.
They're just not happy. They're never happy. You give them gifts and they want more gifts.
No, instead of all the other gifts,
and
just do that.
And I know how you like to play this, Andy, and make it out to be that I was up in arms about this and was highly offended. But
you were.
I just asked if you guys thought it was weird at all.
I thought it was okay what they did. And you know me.
I thought they made it out
if,
to be
if
more
I had
than
a
it
problem
was.
With it, I'd,
I know you would. But I thought they made it out to be more than it was. That's all.
Huh. It was just a little thing.
Never happy.
Let's see.
I'm not unhappy.
I'm with you, Paul. I'm with you on this one.
Bruce and Istanbul.
Instead of all the other junk.
You two have been aligned a lot lately. Interesting.
Why, you're afraid our romance is over, Andy?
What?
What?
What's interesting about it?
Just the alliance that's formed.
Well, Eric still hasn't answered the question
like
of what has turned him.
Nothing.
Nothing? No?
Same Eric I was before.
Wait, what are we talking about here?
What? Why
am I
laughing?
I'm just wondering what has precipitated this change to the dark side for Eric.
Not really a dark side, Fred.
So you're asking
compared
him
to,
when?
He realized?
Compared to altar boy Eric that we used to know?
Displayed a very, very dirty mouth.
You said things on Tuesday that should not be said.
You went from going, two or three years without ever really saying anything that could be remotely...
You said, God bless you. That was your response.
That's true. Remotely That's considered true. Dirty. To
God ain't blessing you anymore.
Three or four things the other day that...
It might have been an unfortunate combination of Diet Coke and a pepperoni calzone. It made me do the things that
yeah,
I did.
We have,
he's chalking it up to diet.
Andy's colonoscopy caused him to lose his memory, and evidently pepperoni calzones take away all of Eric's inhibitions.
He did have a pepperoni calzone. That's the first time he's had
for a long
time.
It's
been a while, yeah.
Yeah, I think diet does affect you.
Maybe.
Because you have a lot less body mass, so
now,
what
Fred,
goes through 10
seconds into the show, he just starts swearing.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense.
So that could be it.
Yeah.
How was that steak and cheese?
Huh? I don't remember eating it. let's see. Bruce from Istanbul says, Andy's time has come, or is that hair gel? I'm a long-time listener.
But even that is nowhere near as vulgar as what Eric said, because even that has a play on words included. Eric's didn't have a play on words.
We can't even repeat what Eric said.
Listen.
Because there's no way you can say it without...
You should be, I'm never saying it, because then it's on tape, and I
could
be fired
because of it. You should be thankful that I have not gone to HR in the last 3 years with all the crap and lies that you have said about me on
this
show.
This is called deflecting, I believe.
If he did that, he'd end up with another vacation.
Plus, if he went to HR, just put a scarf on and call yourself a Jonas Brother.
Please leave me alone, Eric. My bottom is really sore. Yeah.
It's about time. Finally dropped something in.
Let's see.
It's true. It is the
this
first.
This is Bruce. I had to weigh
Still
in from
Tomas were
Istanbul
the show.
On Tuesday's argument about Brady retirement versus 19-0.
Is there
El Grande Cabeza is right
Amigo
on this
con grande
one.
Cabeza.
As a fan, I want to be watching games and following a team with arguably the best ever quarterback at the helm. Having Brady makes every day, year-round, a day when the mention of Patriots brings a smile to my face. As journalists, you smaller-headed guys may be sustained for the rest of your lives with the thought that I covered the 19-0 season. Me, I'll take sustenance when I'm rolling around in a wheelchair from memories of 10 to 15 years watching Tom Brady. I'd not trade that for one game or one season,
count.
No matter how historic. And in a strange way, even the loss will be treasured memory, the one that got away. Great argument. Hey, whatever floats your boat, or maybe, Fred, you are into flogging more than floating. let's see. P.S. to Fred or whoever it is who generates ideas to make the decisions. Great decision to go with twice weekly shows during the off season. Now as we enter Fred's dog days of the Patriots summer, we'll see how things progress. As was requested by a listener, here are a few suggested questions. One, A, compare, contrast, and choose which was most stunning and painful at the time it happened. The loss in 86 for the Red Sox or the loss in Super Bowl 42? Or B, rank the five most boneheaded personal moves of the Belichick era.
I mean, any particular reason why Eric's comments weren't enough to get us thrown off the air? Well, I mean, what is this?
That's just what he said.
We've got to give the fans what they want.
I mean, I might have to slit my wrists if I really have to do an analysis of the 86 Red Sox and the 07 Patriots, which was more devastating.
Which was more devastating to you?
To me, the Super Bowl. Just because I have more of a personal connection.
I was pretty damn devastated in 86.
I was devastated probably more in 86 only because of I was so much younger. I was a freshman in college. That was like prime. I want to go into Kenmore Square and celebrate this and do all those stupid kid things.
After game six, I made a sign and I hung it up on Comm Ave in Alston. And it said, if there's justice on earth and a God in heaven, the Red Sox will win the series in seven. I hung it up on Comm Ave.
Hey, but boss.
There is no justice on earth and God in heaven.
Hey, boss, you're a loser.
You know. So I was pretty dead, but 07, man, nothing.
No.
my life, our lives would be different.
Very different.
If the Patriots had won that game.
Andy and I would be doing cameos on NFL Network.
It's true.
In our smoking jackets.
I'm telling you, your lives would be significantly different if they had won that game.
You're right.
So,
professionally, there's no question.
Well, yeah, but that's not
the
question.
That was huge, but that's not part of that. I just don't – I don't think you can ever think like you do when – you know, as a fan, like you do when you're a kid. You know, right. And I was still just a kid. I was 18.
Yeah, I was in college.
And
I was 8.
I was devastated.
Yeah. So I don't really have
– I was a freshman.
This thing was just so stunning.
Yeah.
To lose – I mean, it was – I don't know. Yeah. It's tough. Like I said, I might have to slip my wrist.
I really
have to give it a lot of thought.
In that press box, like you said, I was just stunned.
Remember, we just put I had my head down. I just put my head down on the table, and I look over and for Chris, poor Chris, God bless him, is like putting 17 different things up on the website, and I look at Fred, and Fred just had he was pale white, like me on TV, Andy, just this look on his face, like I don't even know how to describe it, like you had seen a ghost or something.
Yeah.
And I remember getting up, and I was walking around the corner, and there was, like, these two Giants guys there. And, like, they had almost the same kind of, like, obviously on the opposite side, but this stunned look like, I can't believe we just won.
Right.
I mean, the look on their faces.
It hadn't hit them yet. But I remember I'm sitting next to Chris Ferreira, our webmaster, and it's the first Super Bowl that he's ever covered. And
the last guy didn't make it through a Super Bowl, so he was a little on edge.
So Moss scores the touchdown to put the Patriots ahead, and I'm thinking, that's it. They're going to stop them, you know?
Of course.
So said to Chris, I go, look, a lot is going to happen after this game. There's going to be people are going to be going crazy, but we've got a job to do. We've got to get this stuff up. I don't even want you looking at the field until all this stuff is up there, and then you can do whatever you want. But we got to get this stuff up there. So I need you really to focus on what you're doing.
I remember hearing this pep talk. That's what Chris I thought was going to lose.
And he's like, okay. And then they lose the goddamn game.
What was it like? Because, Andy, you were out in the auxiliary box, which was part of the stands.
Yeah.
And it was you were around all the Boston guys, all the local media. What was it like?
Just shock. Yeah. I really think everybody thought, even after the Giants took the lead, that the Patriots were going
to
win.
If I was forced to bet, after the Giants scored the touchdown,
I would have taken the Patriots.
How much? 35 seconds?
39?
Yeah. 30. About 30.
I think it was 35.
Yeah.
I would have taken the Patriots.
They had timeouts.
They had timeouts.
Yeah.
I
they took one before the fourth down play, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, once the Giants
but
scored,
if I had to bet,
really?
I would have bet my house on it. That they would have tied it. Now, I don't know what happens in overtime. But I would have bet that they would have tied it on a field goal.
Yeah.
We actually left our seats.
You would have bet against them?
Yeah. I just...
Even before the play that they scored the touchdown. Remember they kept completing third downs? Not just the fluke one, the Tyree. There was a couple other third downs. One to Steve Smith, I think.
Yes, along the sidelines.
One over the middle on a 3rd and 10, I think they completed, maybe to Plax. I don't remember who it was. But even when they were down close, because that touchdown was only about 15 yards,
that was in there, yeah.
Yeah, about that.
Even then, I didn't think the Giants were going
to
score.
We actually had
to leave our seats. That's how arrogant we had gotten.
But once they did score, I thought it was over.
To get down to where the interviews were, we had to be as close to the elevator as possible at the last second.
I remember that.
So Andy
remember
and
we
I...
went the wrong way? We were in that long tunnel.
Because they directed us the wrong way.
There was a soccer-like body-to-body squishing. And, like, seriously, I was a little worried that it was going to turn into an ugly scene.
For about 30 seconds, I was worried because there was a door that was closed at one end of a tunnel, and basically the entire media corps was coming from the other end of that. And it was a narrow tunnel.
It was
claustrophobic.
Seriously.
It was very claustrophobic.
And you started thinking, everybody's going to be like, I got to get down there. I'm the only important
media
guy.
My job is more important than
my job. I need to get my recorder up there close, you know. And everybody's coming in, and we're looking at each other like, and then all of a sudden it started to fan out a little bit before you could get really panicked about it. But it was a weird thing.
But we were standing on the steps.
Mm-hmm.
At the base of the concourse there, sort of like ready. As soon as the clock ticked down, we were going to run to the elevators to get down there. And we're formulating our plan, who's going to interview who and this and that, breaking stuff up. And we're seeing the Giants incrementally march down the field. And still, we didn't really think it was going to end the way it did.
Yeah. Who did? let's see. Andrew in the Ukraine. I liked the debate Tuesday, although I thought that both sides missed good rebuttals. I'm sure you have already received emails addressing these points, but just in case, Eric, you wanted to know what franchise quarterback had more success at the end of his career, John Elway. That wasn't
No, he didn't.
No.
No, I was
That's
saying
incorrect.
Who
yeah.
what we were asking was who better. Was better.
Right.
What player got better at the end of
his career? By the way, Elway did not get better.
He was not a better quarterback when he won Super Bowls than he was when he lost.
He had better players around him,
right.
And they had a better team.
That's correct. Andy, you wanted to know what franchise quarterback was replaced by another. Joe Montana was replaced by Hall of Fame Super Bowl winning Steve Young.
We mentioned that and that's the only one.
Paul et al. Wanted to know what the chance of going undefeated again is and guessed it to be about 5%. I might remind Paul that in 8 years, Belichick and Brady have a 21-18 game win streak, good for first and second place on the all-time list. So I calculate percentage as roughly 25%.
Well, I counted a zero because they never went undefeated.
For none of those reasons or comparisons to Super Bowls for that matter, I side with Andy. Only because I think one factor was grossly overlooked in this whole debate.
People are speaking.
For all of their immortality, no one considers the 72 Dolphins to be the greatest team of all time. In fact, they don't even make third in most lists. Single season greatness is outweighed by extended period of greatness. He's missing the point. When they talk about greatest team of all time.
Wait, that's a first right there. He exasperated Fred to the point where he had to stop reading the email.
When people make those
lists, have a heavy
who's the greatest team of all time, it is one season.
Yes.
It's the 85 Bears, the 72 Dolphins, the 76 Steelers, right? It is one season.
I don't know which Steelers it is, but.
Yeah, whatever.
I get your point.
Yeah. Anyway, so that ruins the whole thing.
I think the 76 Steelers are actually one that didn't win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's why.
No, but you know, the Steel Curtain,
sure.
That one year, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
Dynasties are a different story. That, of course, is over an extended period of time. For example, if Brady wins two more and goes out with five rings, then there is no debate about dynasties. If he wins the fourth and retires, then we have to share first with the Steelers and 49ers into infinity, and we'll always wonder about what could have been. Maybe we won't win two with Brady, but I think it's traditional New England pessimism to assume the best is past. So, I you didn't convince me, Andrew. I'm sorry.
No, and again, we're not assuming anything. That's part of the argument is that we're taking the sure thing over an assumption because you can't assume one thing either way. You can't assume, and even Andy's said that, you can't assume they're going to win three or four Super Bowls. Andy's just making the assumption that they will be competitive and they will have a chance to win. And I think you can make the same assumption, maybe not to the extent with Brady, but I'm going to assume with Belichick, I'm going to assume they will contend.
Phil from Nova Scotia says that Eric is dirty. Did
That's
Eric
true.
Drink from the same bottle as Artie Lang last show? What a dirty mouth little rascal.
What did Artie Lang do? Because I've seen a million references, but I didn't see.
He went on Joe Buck and just tore it up.
But like what? Like
he said a lot of stupid stuff, dirty things.
But you know what?
Ripping Joe Buck?
I heard
ripping
it.
Who?
Well, after Joe Buck went after him, then he started ripping Joe Buck. But he, you know.
Oh, so he didn't perform. It was an interview.
No, it was three comedians. There was a segment with three comedians. And it started off with they were talking about TV shows that they liked. And Joe Buck said, well, I like TMZ, and Artie
was his
goes,
favorite website, he said.
It was his favorite website.
He goes, TMZ's
and
your favorite
Artie goes,
website?
You like TMZ.com. What's your second favorite?
Easy.
I-blank-blank.com. I-suck-blank.com. I didn't say
well,
it.
Well, I actually needed it, Paul, because I-blank-blank
so that's,
would be unlimited.
A lot of things. But it would be one of those things that we would just have to be content to wait till after.
I actually, the first thing I thought of was eat poo.
No, so
I don't know why.
It went downhill from there where, you know, Buck started going
much
after
like
him.
This show.
But I mean, why bring Artie Lang on if you're not going to have him be Artie Lang? But he's on HBO, so we can be.
But from some people were saying he wasn't even being Artie Lang. Like, people who say they like Artie Lang, he was different, worse,
I don't
weird.
Know. Yeah.
Well, I heard some of the clips of him. I love Artie Lang. Let me just state that. The Artie Lang that's on the Howard Stern show, I think, is drop-dead hysterical. But I didn't really find a lot of what he was saying on that show. The clips that I heard on E!
But he was ripping Joe Buck?
Because
I'm for Artie Lang.
He made fun of Joe Buck a little
bit.
Made
fun of the show. So,
I hate
you know,
Joe Buck.
But like he had that thing about that he made fun of the Saturday Night Live guy, which that's just not what's just not funny. When he said, yeah, I'm going to make 80 grand this weekend doing this, and you can go back and make $11 an hour at Saturday Night Live or something like that, which, first of all, is foolish, even though it's not that funny because I think it's being mean to a guy.
Yeah.
It's foolish anyway because every Saturday Night Live guy that's talented – goes on to certainly better things than $80,000 a weekend
right.
gigs. You know, when you go Eddie Murphy,
right.
Chevy Chase, and you know
Adam
Chris
Sandler.
Rock, Adam Sandler, Mike right. Myers,
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell. Mm-hmm. I mean, the list is endless of guys that have gone much better to gigs than $80,000 for a weekend. But it was almost like he was really drunk or high, Fred. Yeah. Didn't you think?
Well, no. It's actually the opposite. He's just come off heroin about 2 months ago. He's
again?
Yeah. And he's
it's like I haven't heard the show in what 5, 6, 7 years since yeah. they left.
No, he's
terrestrial
been
radio.
Clean for
it's
about
the same
two,
show.
He's been clean for about 2 or 3 months, but like he's just even on Howard Stern, he's hijacked the show a couple times and just gone nuts.
I did think it was funny. The guy said the guy responded to him and said, "And just how far up Howard's ass did you have to get that gig or something like that?" And he goes, "Not a bit." And Artie, to his credit, he goes, "Not a bad career move getting up Howard's ass. There's room. There's plenty of room up here if you want to come or something like." Instead of getting mad about it.
Come.
Oh, easy.
And what
he said? It's a more.
Don't
lucrative,
you give me a look,
out, Eric?
He said, don't give me a look.
He said it's a more lucrative career move than being up. What's his face? Is Lorne Michaels' ass. I almost said Rune Arledge.
No. Who the hell is Rune Arledge?
He was ABC the guy who started ABC Monday Night Football.
Never heard the name.
Wide World of Sports.
Yeah.
LT from Adelaide, Australia writes in, "Firstly, I thoroughly enjoyed the debate on the last show. It was absolutely brilliant. The show is evolving magnificently. It seems that Eric has inherited Andy's role as the vulgar one. Andy has inherited Paul's role as the angry one by picking fights with old women. That includes Eric. Paul has inherited Fred's role as arguing the other side for the sake of arguing the other side. And Fred, well, he simply says what comes into his mind whilst arguing both sides of any argument. With Fred at the helm.
Have it pegged there.
Yeah. With Fred at the helm, we know that the Patriots have the Super Bowl 44 trophy locked away safely in Patriots Place presented by Raytheon. But what percentage chance do the other three writers give to the Patriots winning the Super Bowl this year? And what percentage chance do you give the team of going 19-0? How much does the percentage change if, hypothetically, Brady, God forbid, has another season-ending injury, Randy Moss, Vince Wilfork, Richard Seymour, Ty Warren, Gerard Mayo, and Tank Williams have injuries?"
All at the same time?
No, either of them.
So I got to give you a percentage for everyone.
Oh, my God, Tank Williams. It increases with Tank Williams.
Oh.
How about
he's
just
a friend of the show.
Plano, what do you think the chances of winning the Super Bowl are?
75%.
81%.
I love what he does.
I'll go 66.
I'll say a Dove bar.
Sure you don't.
I don't even know what
the hell
is
that mean?
Dove soap bar, 99.999% pure.
That's ivory.
Oh, is it?
I thought you said it was 100%.
Well,
so you've downgraded.
Now, happened? Without Brady, I would say
40. No,
without Brady,
22%,
10%.
You have to go much lower than that if you're going to stay true to yourself.
7%,
10%.
I think
they'll actually be kicked out of the league.
Yeah, I'd say 10%.
I'm going to go higher.
132nd percent.
No, you guys 30. Think he's replaceable because you're willing
30%.
To just trade him in
without
and take the
Brady,
next quarterback,
Kevin 30, O'Connell.
30% chance.
You should be much higher than that. You're willing to give Brady
chances,
up and just
chances
take
of
next
going
to
19-0,
and you should be higher. Don't you love O'Connell,
Andy?
I do, but it's his first year starting. His first year starting.
Castle's first year starting was last year.
He had 4 years under.
Don't be so short-sighted.
Under his
never
belt.
Started in college.
It's
O'Connell
10. It's 10 years, Andy, not one.
I know.
10 years. So just because I might think it's only a 30% chance in year one, it might be up to 80% by year four. What? I think Kevin O'Connell will get better. And if he doesn't,
I
think Belichick will find somebody
next
else.
Year.
No, this,
yeah, this
no.
is an offshoot.
Andy was saying, I have to think it's a much better chance that they'd win based on the fact that I'm willing to let right. Brady retire. Well, it's 10 years.
Right.
In year one, I don't think they have a guy right now.
Be fair, Andy. Yeah. I mean, just be accurate. Don't be...
He's not used to being that way.
We don't want to change him. No, that's the beauty.
Aaron from Sterling.
I wouldn't say beauty.
He's turned into the angry guy. The people have finally seen what I've seen for the last 6 or 7 years.
I am not angry.
Oh, my God.
What time is it?
It's time for you to take a look in the mirror.
I
am not angry.
Big enough.
Let's see. Aaron from Sterling, Virginia. Love the discussion.
Arlington. Where did Arlington
come
from?
On Tuesday regarding the 19-0 with Brady retirement versus 10 more years of Brady. Here are some additional points that were not mentioned. One, the undefeated regular season was one of the greatest gifts ever for Pats fans that live outside of New England. Every single Pats game was broadcast on national TV down the stretch. I normally get 3 to 4 Pats games each season on national TV down here in Virginia. It was an awesome to essentially own the NFL that year. Every story, for better or worse, was New England Patriots. They were the only story in the NFL that year. Two, a 19-0 season would be the gift that keeps on giving. How much joy do Sox fans get every time a baseball team goes down 0-3 in a playoff series? You always hear, only once has any team ever come back from an 0-3 deficit, with the one exception being the 0-4 Red Sox over the Yankees. A 19-0 Pats team would be mentioned every time a team goes undefeated through the first half of the season and would be regarded as the best NFL team ever. I love Brady, but he and the Pats would be immortal with 19-0. Somebody wins the Super Bowl every year, but the 19-0 season has never happened. You have to take the 19-0 and be happy with a few 10-6 seasons.
Damn straight.
So he thinks the downside is 10-6. Oh, good. Welcome to reality.
He's saying a few 10-6. He's saying the downside would be
a few 10-6 seasons. Sorry, downside is a lot worse than that.
He's saying
ask Oakland what the downside
is. God,
no, of living in the past.
What he's saying is, in that period, you might get as good as a couple of 10-6. The rest would be worse. That's what he's saying.
He said the downside is a few 10-6 seasons.
Yeah,
a few.
That means he sees the downside, the bad, as 10-6.
Andy, a few in a decade means
which
that
means
there's
he
more
sees
bad.
That as the absolute worst. That is not the worst. Worst is top five picks in the draft. Bad.
I don't think that's what he's saying.
Well, that's what he said. I don't know what he's saying, but what he said was downside is a few 10-6 seasons.
Greg in Long Meadow says, for the sake of my mental health.
You like reading
you
between the lines.
Stop.
That's what I was doing, reading between the lines.
I was taking him at his word. Words mean something.
Oh,
you told me
time.
That. You taught
that
me
means.
Wither Wilfork's word in words. Words mean something.
Yeah, how did that get through? Anyway?
Because you didn't
left it.
It.
You didn't
change
it. You didn't change it.
I was supposed to change it?
You had a problem with it.
Wait, you're the last one to read it.
You definitively said change it, and it came across your desk with it still there? Why didn't you say something?
I said change it. Nobody changed it. So I figured you had told Eric you're going to change it. So, he cried, and then you kept it.
Well, that happened. But
no, I was waiting for the editor.
You're the boss.
To make the change.
I said change it. Nobody changed it.
Including you.
I think you said nix it.
So do you think when Bill tells somebody to do something and they don't do it, he goes, well, I told him to. He didn't want to do it. I don't know.
No, he fires them because they didn't do what he told him to do, which is what I should be doing.
I circled it and wrote change it and passed it to Paul.
I'm the boss. Need the info.
Greg and Longmeadow again. For the sake of my
thanks,
mental
by
health,
the way, Andy.
Can you guys please stop the 19-0 and then Brady retires
debate? Oh, it's
like,
fun.
Like
stop
many
it.
Patriots fans, I have spent the last year and a half suppressing the awful memories and what-ifs from the game that shall not be named, and the last two shows have only awoken those painful images. Please stop and discuss anything else, even if it's Eric's porn career, Andy's bowel movements, or a potential sumo match between Fred and Paul.
Oh,
wow.
Fred's getting lumped in with the fat jokes an awful lot these days.
I deserve it.
Lumped in?
You used to be the fat guy on the show.
Emphasis on the word
I wonder
lump.
Why that is.
Because you're fat.
But why is the real reason?
Because you're
you
really
call
fat.
Me fat every time you refer to me.
Is that accurate?
You couldn't do that to Fred?
He's the boss. Damn it.
Chris says.
He's the info.
$1 million. Hey, guys, one last note on 18, and I'm sure it won't be the last note, on Andy's 19-0 debate. My thinking is all you can do is go with what you know. The hypothetical calls for the Patriots going 19-0. That's the known in this situation.
Right.
In that case, they've got to take the known factor because we're not sure how things will turn out otherwise. Didn't the Redskins have three different quarterbacks for their Super Bowl championships?
Yes.
Andy
yes.
lost the argument in my mind when he just called Bledsoe a non-franchise quarterback. Andy, you're right a lot of the time, but you're wrong on that one. Keep it up. It's interesting radio.
Well, then we need to change the wording because he wasn't whatever you want to put as.
Well, no,
elite.
In hindsight. But during the time, he was called the franchise. He was
absolutely.
Called the franchise.
Absolutely.
I know, based on what he had done, not based on what he was at the time.
But you don't think he was.
Is Brett Favre a franchise quarterback?
He was.
Right
for
now?
Green Bay.
He was
right
in Green Bay.
Today?
Yeah.
No.
No, not today.
But that's,
no.
I think Drew was on the back nine. The, like,
I would agree with
passed
you
passed up his best days. To me, Drew Bledsoe was a franchise quarterback building up to the 96 Super Bowl. For a while after, and then it was clearly kind of.
But using
which happens to every player.
But using,
out.
But using
yeah,
that
but
as,
he wasn't in the like year 17.
No,
I mean he was drafted in 93. He did 2003 would be 10 years.
But Joe Montana
was long gone and hard to find by that time.
For example, Joe Montana, the last 2 years he was in San Francisco was not a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Right.
So right. I mean, but he's a Hall of Fame. He's still considered a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Right.
Drew, I agree with
but
you.
But Drew
he
was never
the
a Hall of Fame quarterback.
He was a franchise quarterback. He was on the
but
back.
But he wasn't at
no
the time.
Doubt.
Like
I
he
agree.
Was, people were already making fun of him, and like he
I,
was no
I
longer.
Agree. He was on the decline.
And
but
he wasn't.
But you're still replacing a franchise quarterback.
Right.
Maybe he's not playing at a franchise level at the time that you're doing the replacing, but neither was Joe Montana playing at a franchise level.
But
when
for the
he went
bulk
to
of his
Dan
career,
Marino,
but the bulk of his
the
career,
was
he was
higher,
a franchise
so
quarterback.
The higher you go, the more you have to live off of, the more cachet you have.
You're moving.
You're a franchise quarterback is a subjective thing. Yeah,
of course it
yes,
is. Of course it is.
That's why I said, like, right. Aaron Rodgers is a franchise quarterback.
But
they've
he's
hooked
not.
The franchise to Aaron Rodgers.
But until he
financially,
wins a game,
but is he a franchise quarterback?
I mean, Matt Schaub is.
He had a good year last year.
But he didn't win any games.
Right, but he was good.
He was good. I agree. I think he was
and
good.
And I don't know. I didn't watch their games close enough. To me, I thought they were going to have a great defense.
So basically you're saying any high-priced quarterback is a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, but I'm not.
That's your definition.
Yeah, I'm not going off.
No.
I'm not going off a
because
salary.
That's why I need to change it. I'm saying.
Okay.
So, I think you need to have some success to be a franchise quarterback. I would
oh,
say Donovan
certainly.
McNabb is definitely a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, but now I want to differentiate.
Is he a little overrated?
Now I'm
yeah,
calling
but I
Manning
think he's a franchise
and Brady
quarterback.
In the same
yeah,
class
see,
as McNabb.
Well, I would say, though, that you know when you invest in a guy like Detroit invested this year in the draft, or
they
the
hope,
Jets in,
they hope Matthew
they
Stafford
want,
is
that's
a franchise,
their franchise
quarterback.
Now. That's,
no, right.
But
right.
they hope that he's a franchise quarterback. You can't just deem him that.
No, but
because
you're giving
the
him the money to be a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, and, right. and if Aaron right. Rodgers goes 6-10 3 years in a row, he's right. not a franchise quarterback.
Right.
I think he's better than that. I agree with Andy. I think he yeah. played okay last
but
year.
If they don't
and
live,
the defense stunk.
If they don't win, you know, they're paying him franchise quarterback money.
Right.
But everybody
but that's
gets
different.
Franchise
but that's different.
Because
all starting quarterbacks that are the known starting quarterback, they make franchise.
They
money.
Want him I mean, to be
on.
Their franchise quarterback. Right. Whether he becomes that is a different
I mean,
story.
Mark Sanchez is being paid like a franchise quarterback. Will
right.
he be
Same
one?
Thing.
We don't know.
Same thing. Bledsoe was drafted and paid to be the franchise quarterback
and
became
he
the quarterback,
yes,
the franchise quarterback.
He did.
And if you asked anybody in the league during that time, they would have agreed, yeah, Bledsoe is a franchise quarterback,
franchise.
You know, and he's get, their franchise.
That's if he could get past the stodgy GM. Well, what is a franchise quarterback? I don't like these terms that the media throws around. You know, you can't use these terms like they don't know what you're talking about, you know,
right.
when you're discussing stuff like that.
Scott says, if you put Tom Brady on any other NFL team, keeping all other players and coaches the same, does the team automatically become a Super Bowl contender?
Any other team?
Any
other
I wouldn't
team.
Say any
no,
other
no,
team.
No.
No.
On the phone right now, I think he's still
yeah,
here. No, he's gone. Okay, you don't have to go crazy.
No, I don't think you can say that
you
about
write
any.
Him a little
I don't think you can say
gone.
That about anybody.
But he would make every team significantly better.
Yes.
Well,
I would
agree with
that's
not true either. Because Indy.
Except Indy?
Yeah.
But he would make most teams significantly better.
I mean, you put him on the Eagles?
Better.
Yeah,
there's the Super Bowl favorite if you ask me.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put them on, like Andy says, the Raiders or the Chiefs, I don't think that's a Super Bowl contender.
Tap Dog says, Andy, we have not gotten a full game from Brady since the perfect season loss. So how can you say we'll get 10 years of good seasons?
Well, that's another good.
I mean, you got to have some.
You had an aberrational injury,
but it just shows you don't know.
No, but that's not why Bridget. You're saying no. Are you saying that he might get hurt again?
No,
is that why you're
saying
he might not be the player he was before the injury?
I mean. It's a hypothetical, but you got
to
give Andy a little bit to go on.
That's as ridiculous as me saying, why would you want 19-0? Because a year later, Goodell could take that season away because of some, like, Spygate rule. I mean, we can make up pie-in-the-sky ridiculousness if we want. Yeah. I'm good at it.
Paul
says, you excelled at it on Tuesday.
Paul's not happy. He says, really? That's today's conversation? Puts gun in mouth.
Pulls trigger.
Why am I not happy?
No, this is another Paul.
Oh,
which Paul?
Okay.
Not our Paul. Is it?
Brad from St. John, New Brunswick says, how about instead of 19-0, the Pats win the next three Super Bowls, then Brady and Belichick retire?
Hypothetical radio here
I mean,
on Patriots.com.
Now we're getting a little crazy.
The next three Super Bowls, and then they retire. I'll take it.
Todd says,
I would probably take that, too.
Todd says, I hate Eric.
Oh, geez.
Now I'm guaranteeing 3 years of greatness.
God. He's unbelievable.
Let's see. Todd says, as a frequent poster on the I Hate Eric thread, I actually started it. I will not be posting anymore if the Eric that was on yesterday's show stays around.
He is.
I like the hatred he's had lately. Just a matter of time before a Rihanna post turns me off again.
He can't
I'll
say
turn
Rihanna.
Turn that hatred to you, Todd.
Is it Rihanna?
No.
Rihanna.
Rihanna.
He's got a lot of hatred, Todd. I'll tell you. You spend a little time with him, you can see a lot of hatred.
Well, you know, those types of people do.
Don't let that choir boy persona.
Choir boy. I love when he says choir. What are you singing in a choir?
Yes.
Now,
right now?
What? Yeah, my church.
Really?
That you have problems. I was legitimately calling him a choir boy, and you're like, he said choir. I mean, like,
what are you saying, soprano?
No, that's a female voice, jerk.
Oh, you know his singing voice, Doc.
Oh, come on, don't. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light?
All right, Doc. All right.
See, everybody got their answer, though. The cool Eric that was on Tuesday's show is long gone and hard to find.
You'll sing again for us, right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
A Rihanna tune.
Maybe you'll do the anthem at a game.
Get well soon.
Disturbia,
a Revs game?
Get well soon, Paul.
Can he do a Revs game, please?
Oh, that would be great.
I would do that.
Patriots Football Weekly's Eric Scalavino.
Sing the anthem for a Revs
game.
You
already sang for more people when you sang for our podcast.
Then you point up to the press box or something and you give a fist pump.
Point up to the press box at your future broadcast partner, John Rook.
Oh snap.
We got to go over that because we have understaffed issues.
He does Revs games too.
We're not going to be able to do that.
Yeah, we do have some differences than we did last year when we had Mike.
Why? What happened?
We lost Mike.
We lost a guy.
Yeah.
We need the web update.
We can't do 5 hours of radio.
Can't have him on Rook every day.
And everything every day.
Brian in Santa Cruz, hey guys, and the booth hogger. Where do we start? Fred drops the fastest S-bomb in radio history. Then goes on to talk about an egg in a nest while flogging himself until the Pats win another Super Bowl.
The hell's going on over there?
To make things worse, Fred's cringing at the thought of how bad a toe thumb would stink. Paul is suddenly trying to be the voice of reason in a heated argument. And Eric is running rampant, busting chops and throwing bombs like he has a pair. This show is like the aging of a fine wine. The longer you listen, the better it gets. You guys are the greatest.
I love it.
Just one quick question. Is Boss Bailey a decent player or a jag? I don't know that much about him, but he's listed as an outside linebacker, was just released by the Broncos. I'll leave you with this. A few shows back, Andy so wisely stated, if there's grass in the field, play ball. But I have a variation on this saying that our friends across the pond might appreciate. In keeping with the spirit of the show, if there's grass in the wicket, play cricket.
Boss Bailey, first of all, is injured. He's coming off microfracture surgery.
Isn't that the big
second
issue
of all, he's undersized. Third of all, he was a runaround linebacker, not a Patriots outside linebacker. He'd be an inside guy here at best. Fourth of all, as a guy that got by on his athleticism.
Where is it?
I mean, microfracture. Yeah. I know some guys have had it and successfully come back, but it is not yet in the range of, oh, you just have it and then you'll
be
back.
Not like an ACL surgery.
And I was a big fan. Despite all the things that Andy just said about him, which I think are all true.
Whenever I saw him trying to block that kick and he was like 800 feet in the air, I mean, that Bailey family puts out some athletes.
I'm surprised we went 2 hours with that being the first question about that, though. I'm surprised we went the whole show and that being the first question about it.
Are you mocking the fans right now?
No, I'm just telling it like it is.
You're a little upset.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
Another hour.
Hope we have a good week here. It's going to rain all weekend, though, so that's going to stink. But we will see you next Tuesday.
That'll do it. Another PFW in Progress. We'll be back next week.
But we gave it our best.
Yes. And I guess your best wasn't good enough.
Patriots.com Radio.
I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough.